fourth turning is here upon the globalist and anyone else that gets in its way. It's Friday, July 3rd, 2026.
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
We're on the verge of the 250th anniversary of the founding of our republic. Russia is openly threatening to invade NATO countries, starting with Poland. It's all coming up today. Newsom's in deep trouble, but first, the fourth turning.
I'm quoting him. He said, "Tony, I'm going to rape your wife. I'm going to rape all of your grandchildren." And he said, "The next time you go out of town, I'm going to kill them. And what the F are you going to do about it?" End quote. This has gone on for years now. Behind me are several witnesses who can attest to what was said. They have video. They have made numerous complaints to the police and the sheriff's department.
The key here is he throws at least five punches, one of them connecting with his right temple, bloodying the pastor before the pastor then engages him in defense. But, of course, the pastor was arrested and put out on $25,000 bond. And it's an example that the public is ready and the public is angry for people to start defending themselves, not just culturally, but physically. We're not calling for offensive violence. We are calling for men to stand up. Pastor Tony Spell, thanks for being here with us.
If you were to get a cursory study of this book, 1,189 chapters, 66 books, and 31,102 verses, you will find out that good always wins over evil. The more they afflict us, the more we multiply and grow. You meant evil, but God meant good. Psalm 82 and 3, defraud not one another. Defend the poor and the needy. Come to the aid of the defenseless and the helpless. So what's happening in our society, Alex, is we're in the fourth turning. December of 1773, the Boston Tea Party sowed the seeds for the first turning. That's the Great American Revolution. Count 80 years to the beginning of the American Civil War. President James Buchanan would not make a ruling on the Dred Scott case. South Carolina secedes. You have the beginning of the American Uncivil War. Several hundred thousand brothers against brothers, fathers against sons. You go another 80 years. We go to Black Tuesday, October 25th, 1929, the crash of the stock market. Sow the seeds for the Second World War. We're now in the fourth turning, Alex. No nation has ever survived four turnings. But what's happening is, instead of this turning and the great unraveling of society, politically we're corrupt, religiously we're corrupt, financially we're corrupt. We have all these problems in our society. So the mystery of iniquity, which means the sin of lawlessness, is at work in our society. Only he who now letteth will let until we're taken out of the way. So what wants to happen in society is the Lord says, I want you to beat your swords into plowshares. I want you to turn your spears into pruning hooks. But before we get there, before we get to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2 and 4, what we have is Isaiah 59 and 14. Judgment is backwards. Truth is fallen in the streets. Equity cannot enter in. If you would depart evil, you are condemned for that. So something is backfiring in this. We're at an inflection point in our nation, Alex. We're at a flash point in our nation. So the more the news tries to control the narrative between this man and myself, the more they crop the videos and try to create this George Floyd moment. We want the beginning of the videos that led up to the altercation that they're not releasing. They're not giving, you know, the domestic terrorism. They're not giving the intimidation and threat of bodily harm, of sexual abuse toward minors and children. We don't have just a right to defend ourselves. We have a duty and an obligation to defend ourselves. We are those voices that stand up for the poor and for the needy. Defend the defenseless. Provide for the common good.
I'm not calling for offensive violence, but I am calling for men and women and everyone to get trained, get prepared to defend yourselves, because we're going into the fourth turning and a whole collapse of the old system, the rebirth of the new.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight. And now our coming attractions.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world.
We have got to realize we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones.
Whoa.
Hey,
Alex.
We love you, Alex. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more.
Hey, libtard, Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
You, Alex. Suck my d-
What a bunch of garbage, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh, Antifa speed bump. Move, bitch, get out the way.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? Stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to break down the new world order.
I want freedom. That's what I want, and that's what you should want.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Philadelphia, we declared independence from the most powerful empire in the world that had never been defeated in a major war. In the next 6 years, we won that war through attrition and through perseverance. I went and saw the premiere last night of Young George Washington. It was extremely accurate, amazing, very well done. I recommend it to everybody. And we have a new national poll out. Nearly half of Americans don't know what America's 250th is even about. I've done my own talking to people on the street. Half of them don't even know what America is. And those that don't know history or who they are or where they come from are doomed to repeat it. But it's never going to be a majority of people that actually secure the freedom for the future. It's up to us that are informed, that are engaged, are involved to carry humanity forward. Now, I don't normally buy NATO propaganda because most of the time they're lying. But if you remember back in October, 5 years ago, 3 months before the war started in February, I went on air and I said, I believe Russia will invade by late February. And I said that in October, November, December, January, about 4 or 5 months before it happened. And I nailed it. Russia invaded on the 22nd. And there were thousands of data points and tracking the Russians and actually looking at third-party assessments of them massing troops in Western Russia on the border of Eastern Ukraine and movements in Belarus as well to the north. And I said, I believe that if NATO doesn't make a deal, this is the final red line for the Russians. They are going to invade. And, of course, history shown I was right. Now, talking to Victor Boot on the air, who's a big Russian insider, and talking to people I know in the Pentagon that I trust, as of now, Putin is making the final decision, and they've telegraphed this publicly on state-run media, of attacking Poland first, attacking military bases and weapons factories that are supplying the glide bombs, the cruise missiles, and other systems. And, of course, there's a lot of other NATO countries producing the weapons. Most of the weapons are now not produced in Ukraine. And NATO, through U.S. satellites and GPS, is directing the weapons. And Western military technicians are aiming and firing the weapons on the ground as well. And under the rules of war, I don't want this to happen, but under the rules of war, Russia has stated, and it's true, that they are within their rights to begin striking. They've been warning for several years they're going to do that. But now they've been massing nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, in Belarus in the north, in Western Russia, on the eastern side of Ukraine, and in many other areas, putting missile cruisers into the surrounding seas and upping their nuclear doctrine and threatening that if they do hit bomb and missile bases and artillery munitions bases in Poland, the main staging ground, not just for production, but also for shipments out of other areas of Europe, the U.S., that then if there are any counterstrikes, Russia has set under rules of war, under the threat escalatory ladder, that they are then going to use tactical nuclear weapons. Within hours in most war games, if not minutes, NATO and the U.S. will then hit Russian missile fields and missile bases in Russia. And within minutes to hours, we will be in a full nuclear war. Now, all the major think tanks, all the major war colleges, RAND Corporation, the Pentagon, the Russians, the Chinese, NATO, the EU, they all say, the Organization of International Atomic Scientists, the Doomsday Clock in Chicago, is the closest it's ever been to midnight, meaning total thermal nuclear war, mutually assured destruction. So when NATO came out today and put out a report saying that they believe there's a very strong possibility in the coming even weeks, Russia is going to escalate up to the point of NATO's escalation, match that, and that Russia has already diplomatically through the media and through back channels said, we're going to start hitting your bases in Poland, and then we want a negotiation for this to end. But if you want to go ahead and go to full war, we are ready for nuclear war. Now, I don't know if these numbers are true, but they're certainly large. It is coming out that there are 2 million dead Russians. From the estimates I've seen, it's definitely a million dead if you count both sides. There are hundreds of thousands, upwards of 200,000 North Koreans fighting in Ukraine. You see a news blackout out of there in the West, and that's because Russia has been slowly winning, but at a very large cost, and Russian hardliners and the Russian public are upwards of 90% wanting just to go ahead and go to full war. Bloodier than Stalingrad, number of casualties in Russia's war on Ukraine reach 2 million, making it the biggest war since World War II, if that number is true. But even if it's a million, it's one of the biggest. Russia is planning attack on Poland to test NATO resolve, U.S. warns. You read the analysis. I believe this is very accurate and true because Russia said so and is now massing the forces to do it. Critical infrastructure could be targeted by missiles and drones with soldiers potentially crossing the border from Kaliningrad or Belarus. NATO has said that they will then tit for tat hit Kaliningrad in Russia, St. Petersburg in Russia, and major cities in Belarus. Belarus has now been given nuclear weapons and says they will then strike with tactical nuclear weapons. There's really no such thing as tactical nuclear weapons, General Flynn says. Washington has issued several warnings to Warsaw about the plot. Sources close to the Polish president told Onet, the Polish news outlet, which along with the Telegraph is owned by Axel Springer and is part of the Global Reporters Network. The goal of the Russian provocation would be to escalate tensions and force Western allies to suspend aid to Ukraine, aid weapons. It could be launched in a matter of weeks or months. And the report goes on. It's very accurate. Again, we have bloodier than Stalingrad. Russia's decision to launch a full-scale invasion of Ukraine has now cost the country some 450,000 lives, according to a new study that estimates the war's total casualty numbers to have surpassed 2 million. The reach of the Center for Strategic International Studies, CSIS, estimates Russia has suffered 1.4 million casualties, including killed, wounded, and missing soldiers, a stunning number that amounts to roughly 1% of the country's population. Well, 25% of the Russians died in World War II, so they're willing to do it. The losses are not spread evenly across Russia, with poor countries and ethnic minorities suffering specifically higher casualty rates. Stories of male populations in small remote villages being virtually wiped out and are becoming more common in Russian opposition media. And according to one study, Russia is currently unable to recruit new troops at the same rate as it was losing them. These rates are astounding. And it goes on from there, but nothing compared to the problems Ukraine is having. But the West, NATO, is fighting to the last Ukrainian. Meanwhile, Interpol fingers snake-tattooed Ukrainian woman in Morocco oligarch bombing, and Zelensky's under investigation for bombing fellow Ukrainians in their mafia organization that run these scam call centers that run all sorts of serious scams. And more, Zelensky's consolidating power by killing even people loyal to him to consolidate control. So we're going to be going over all of that and the latest developments today, including the latest Iran developments. We have several big guests on the transmission I'll be telling you about a little bit later. And I also intend to open up the phones today. Let me give you some of the other news. I'll be detailing more. FBI mole wore wire inside Newsom's inner circle for years. They reportedly have scores of recordings. It's all part of the Pelosi crime family network. He's a nephew and all of that. Tens of billions of dollars total stolen by the network, hundreds of millions alone to Newsom. Every crime under the sun being carried out, every fraud you can imagine. And what's interesting here, and I'll be getting to it, is Trump is sitting on it. This was all done by Joe Biden. That's why Newsom didn't run against him. That's why Newsom always kissed Joe Biden's ass. And now the Trump Justice Department has his information and has actually now picked up on it and is doing more subpoenas and following up. It's totally slam dunk. And obviously they're going to say it's political. Well, obviously everything's political at some point, but this is like shooting fish in a barrel. We'll be getting to that. Also, we are already having rolling blackouts around the country. You already have the smart meters that hook into your smart thermostats. People are now catching them, turning up the thermostat from 70-something to 85, 90. It's all automated systems. And they're blaming the heat dome, saying record heat. It's not record heat. We've looked up the numbers. Every summer they say this. But what they have done is shut down most of the coal power plants, the hydroelectrics, many of the nuclear, and obviously the solar and the windmills aren't sustaining that. And so during peak times, we have the data here. It is the data centers that clearly have increased power prices massively on top of inflation, and it is the data centers that are on the verge of crashing, even in their current configuration as they're expanded, even the current drain, causing power grid crashes in some of the largest grids, particularly on the East Coast. And I don't just have that from my own analysis. We have that from the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy has come out and said it is the data centers. They can watch the drain. So we're going to be getting to that information and big tie-ins to what's happening with AI and more. World's largest data center project on the verge of collapse after Blackstone unexpectedly pulls out. Blackstone's consortium with BlackRock. Meanwhile, Chucky Schumer says that New York isn't banning gas stoves, though they did. Appeals court upholds New York's gas stove ban that Chuck Schumer insisted didn't exist. So you can't have a gas stove. And in Canada and Netherlands, they put big tubes up cows' butts and put big bags on their back, torturing them to then suck the methane out and pump it into mine shafts, claiming it's toxic and going to kill the earth, even though that's always been part of the atmosphere. And the studies actually holds in the atmosphere. And you've always had bovine. It was actually more bison before they were exterminated than there are cows. You can look at the numbers up. There were a couple million more estimated bison, which is a cow. You can mate a bison with a cow. A cow is just domesticated bovine. It's the same if it's water buffalo in Africa or water buffalo in India. You can mate that with a buffalo. You can mate that with a Jersey cow. You can mate that with a Black Angus. That's a cow. That's a wild cow right there. And they're all over the world, except Arctic and Antarctic. Well, actually, they're in the Arctic. But they're not Antarctic. They're in all the other continents. They're telling you it's evil when they fart, ladies and gentlemen. So farting cows is the big problem. But the data centers can use trillions of gallons of water and not pay for it, dump toxic waste into the water table, into the aquifers, and hog more power than all our major cities combined. That's all fine and dandy. We'll be getting to all of that today and so much more. We have quite the transmission lined up for you. And later in the broadcast, I'm going to do something a little fun. I haven't really responded a lot to all the crazies that think I'm a clone or the crazies that think I am Joe Rogan or Aleister Crowley. They think I'm an Aleister Crowley clone. I guess he was bald-headed and white, so that means I'm Aleister Crowley. But I picked a few of these schizophrenics that I wanted to point out because it shows the total extreme of the Great Awakening. People wake up, they're being lied to, but then they think everything's a lie. They think the world's flat. They think I'm a clone or AI. And this stuff gets millions of views a day just talking about me. I mean, I don't even look for it. It's in the news feeds on Instagram, X, everywhere. It's pretty hilarious. But it's also very, 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 very sad. And it's gotten to the point where I can go to the mall or to Barton Springs or the park, and it happens every month or so. Someone walks up to me and says that, you know, I know you're Dana White. I know you're Joe Rogan. I know you're, what's the other guy's name? Bill Hicks. So we have to understand the other extreme of people that believe anything the government says. That's mental illness. People that don't know anything, they just think whatever they make up is true. It's entertaining, but it's also sad. So we're going to be looking into all of that here today as well. We're going to go to break, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to look at Trump planning to run again in 2028. A lot of people have said that. He's joked about that. You know, he famously told Zelensky, that's in a report I shot last night that we'll play when we come back, that's up on X. And then now I've actually got rumblings out of the White House that indeed that's the case. So we're going to be looking at that exclusively here today and to tie it into some other reports we're getting out of our Pentagon sources about Trump's master plan. So you'll definitely want to stay with us for that. Just to announce here to everyone, we are running the biggest sale of 2026. It is the July 4th, 250th anniversary flash sale, and it is running today, Saturday, and Sunday. All of the best-selling supplements, ultramethylene blue, bovine colostrum, Shilajit, Irish sea moss, it is buy one, bovine colostrum, get one free, massive, for 3 days only. Also, up to 60% off all the other supplements, bare minimum 30%, but some are 60, the average is about 50. Unbelievable. America 250th celebration sale also means 50% off of apparel, the ball caps, the t-shirts. And by the way, most of the shirts have a 60% markup. That's like a small, we make more money on a smaller medium. The XXLs are about a 45% on markup. So when you buy one, get one free, and you're getting an XXL if you're big like me, you're getting it at cost or below some of the best designs ever, thealexjonesstore.com. We are fundraising. We need the funds. But now let me tell you about this. They're making a total of 5,000 of these. 2,000 came in from the Mint in Missouri to the facility and shipping facility and warehouses in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where our sponsor and owner of the network, Bigly, is based. This is a gorgeous coin, limited edition. 2,000 came in, and the 3,000 come in 8 days. They're literally being minted next week. But the 2,000 got in, and these are a gorgeous. It has the Jerusalem cross on the back, absolutely gorgeous. The United States of America, sesquicentennial, 250th year, 1776, over the gorgeous Jerusalem cross. And on the other side, on the head side, it's the American eagle, the American flag, and it says America 250. This is a great collector's item. When they printed these coins, it cost them about $67 to make this coin. And it's being sold for $117.76 for 1776. So $117.76. So it's $117.76. So we end up making like $40 on this. It is a fundraising coin. Not selling this as wholesale silver. We have the sponsor for that, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. This is being sold as a fundraiser and as a collectible to know you funded this operation that is 1776 2.0 as we face even bigger threats than George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin did, along with John Hancock. We cannot fight this war without you. We need the funds to expand, hire more hosts and crew, and to win our legal battles. Thank you for your support. Your limited edition coin now before it sells out at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you.
Celebrate America's 250th birthday. The biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com is live right now, but only for 3 days. I was 2 years old in 1976 when America celebrated its 200th anniversary. Well, I'm 52 now, and it's the 250th. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off. And all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market. Buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market. Buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more. Buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40. The highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026, help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Out on the street, that's where we meet. You make the night, I always cross the line. Tied to dark bells, abuse the cells. Get in our way, we'll put you on your shell. Another day, some other way. We're gonna go, but then we'll see you again. I've had enough, we've had enough. Call me vain, she said. I knew right from the beginning that you would end up winning. I knew right from the start you'd put an arrow through my heart. Round and round, we'll love find a way, just give it time. Round and round, what comes around goes around. I'll tell you why. Looking at you, looking at me.
They say that history repeats itself. And it certainly does. It rhymes as well. And if we look at our republic 250 years after its founding, the promise of liberty made us the apple of the world's eye, the example of the world. Despite all our problems, we were still the most exceptional at rugged individualism, invention, ingenuity, trailblazing spirit.
More than half the world's inventions made by us, most of the world's wealth produced by the United States. By the year 1950, we were 4% of the world's population, had over half the wealth, and it was in a giant middle class, bigger than all the other middle classes in the world combined. But it was swindled all away by government and corrupt corporations. And if you go back to the 50s, the top 1% maybe had 20% of the wealth. Now the top 1% has 90% or more of the wealth, and it's been done through oligopolies, through fraud, through manipulation in almost every case. And then that ends up making the elites poor themselves because it's a poor society, a crime-ridden society, a collapsing, immoral, decadent, in-debt system. And more people get into being lazy and being into fraud and scams instead of producing. Until the corruption is the very tissue of the civilization and the society itself, then it finally collapses into entropy and stagnation and corruption and war. That's why we must rediscover what made us great. We must not comply with the corruption of corporations and government and individuals. We must not be bullied by political correctness into silencing ourselves. We must stand up because it's the end of the old corrupt system and the rebirth is here, according to all the sociologists, anthropologists, futurist, my own analysis, the fourth turning, it's here. And tyrants should beware it and not try to bring us from one great tyranny into a greater tyranny, what they call the end of history. The globalists don't want change. They want the cycles to end. They want to have a depopulation, a total control, a technocracy to somehow take control of history's course to themselves by ending upward mobility and competition and individualism and maverick spirits in the rest of all of us, which itself stunts the entire of humanity. But it is neo-feudalism, high-tech technocracy. And that is what you see out of BlackRock and the WEF and the UN and the globalists, all of it going against what works, going against what's good, going against what's decent, because it doesn't allow them to have a total monopoly of control. Now, I shot a report last night. It's only about 4 minutes long. I want to play it. Then I've got more to add because I made some phone calls and got some phone calls last night about this, and I really thought about it this morning a lot when I went for a hike, kind of get my mind cleared by myself. Nice little five-mile hike. That Trump is definitely thinking about trying to run for office again. And, you know, he's talked about this with Zelensky and others. People said it was a joke at the time, and I thought it probably was. But if you look at all the other behaviors out of Trump with the unprecedented insider trading and unprecedented, you know, here's billions of dollars to Tajikistan for tungsten, rare earth mineral, 2 days after his sons get signed on for tens of millions, the Qataris and the Saudis and the UAE putting billions into their Bitcoin companies and then losing it and not even complaining, and then the Trumps get it. Yeah, the Democrats are running around robbing and stealing everything, even the kitchen sink. But even the New York Post, it's pro-Trump, said it's disgusting when Hunter Biden does it. It's just as disgusting when Trump does it. And Trump didn't do it in the first term. Even his enemies admit that. That way he lost most of his wealth. Is the argument, well, I'm almost lost everything, so I might as well cash in now? I can't hold my nose and say that's okay. Sure, when he rare earth minerals, sure, Trump goes and makes a deal with a bunch of the stands that are full of it over there and cuts Russia and China off from it. I'm like, that's a great deal. Except now he directly profits from it when he gives them government contracts. Oh, but the Democrats do it, so it's okay. No, it's not. And then selling all those stable coins and other coins they sold and then rug pulling his supporters. That's why Trump doesn't have a lot of rallies now, and when he does, they're a third the size they used to be. That's why his America anniversary hometown fair in D.C. looks like it has 10 people at it. I mean, I've been down on the mall in that area many times. When COVID lockdowns were happening, there were that many people walking around. Most of them are just tourists that were already there. And I'm not trying to put Trump down. You can see the loss of support. And we see it in the polls. We see it in the numbers. And I noticed yesterday when I put out a report last night about the insider trading, a bunch of the Israel first influencers, they're not really Trump first, they're Israel firsters, they don't ever point out that Trump is saying the same things I said about Israel a year ago and months ago now, dragging us in the war, lying about intelligence, trying to keep us in the war, Iran's not falling, the Strait's closed. They don't say, oh God, Alex was right, Trump agrees with him now. No, no, they say, I'm a Qatari agent, I'm an Iranian agent. And then they say, no, he's just mad because Trump called him low IQ. And it's not about me. It's about their mindset and how they have these talking points that they admittedly get from these Israeli PR firms. And they're admittedly on the payroll. I could single some of them out, but you see them for yourself. And they think we just forget that we were right about the mullahs not falling. We were right about the Strait being closed. And now Trump sounds just like me, but they don't criticize Trump for that, though the Israel lobby does and Israeli newspapers, some of them do. A lot of them actually disagree with Netanyahu and say Trump's right to be pulling back. But it's not just a monolith over there, but we have big developments on that front. But I just find it interesting, like I'm some schoolgirl in eighth grade and I'm mad because somebody called me a slut or something, or I'm a 13-year-old freshman in high school and somebody says, oh, you got a pimple, ha ha, so you punch him in the face. I didn't care if somebody said I had a pimple when I was 13. I sure as hell don't care now. I'm not into junior high or high school stuff. Oh, God, Trump called me low IQ. I was so happy he did that at the time because he was talking about ending Iran forever and their culture in one day with nukes, basically, and just saying, I do whatever Mark Levin says. Tune in to Mark Levin if you know what I think. And you tune in, Mark Levin goes, we need to nuke Iran like Harry Truman nuked Japan. And I'm like, well, that's not good. And then Trump comes out and says, yeah, there'll be one giant smoldering orange crater. You know what would come out of that would be a pariah to the world. So I was glad when he was so off the rails that he said I was low IQ and attacked me. Because I never got money from Trump. I never got anything but grief supporting him. Lawsuits, deep state attacks. I love the fact that he was making a good, clean break right there. I said, I hope he gets back on track. When he does good things, I'll support him. But just the I love the Israeli talking point. You're not MAGA. You're not in the cool club. You're not at the cool Jeffrey Epstein, Howard Lutnick, Trump table with the Clintons. Oh, Bill Clinton's a great guy. He didn't do anything wrong. Les Wexner's a great guy. Please, since you've gone off the rails, I don't want to be associated with that. Thank you. But when the Israeli lobby and others put out those talking points that you're not at the cool table, they're talking to you like you're an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old that wants to, you know, have the neighbor kids let you up in their clubhouse in the tree. That's not me. So, but that's all they've got, the Israel firsters that were never Trumpers. That's all they've got is criticizing those of us and using this peer pressure game like, ooh, you're not in the cool club. Well, Trump was in the cool club and they were trying to kill him and put him in prison. And he was actually doing the things he said he would do and no wars. Whenever he was president, I was like, I believed he'd do that in the second term. He's like, Kamala Harris, World War III, war with Iran. They'll close the strait. It'll be a disaster. With me, no war with Iran. Remember all that? You want to see the clips? So you have to understand that the influencers that have gotten the $1.3 billion the last 18 months, that's what the official Israeli government, $1.3 billion, and growing, that's what we know of. They are given that talking point, and people have leaked the talking points. They've shown them. Trump's head of all social media and speechwriter last week went on Tucker and showed the emails from them offering him $2 million a month, $20 million over a year. And here's your talking point. Here's your post. Here's what you say. And it's all the stuff they do to us. Anyone disagreeing with this war is a Qatari agent or an Iranian agent. These people aren't important. They're not MAGA. They're not popular. They're ineffectual. They don't matter. Well, if we don't matter, if I don't matter, Tucker Carlson doesn't matter, if Joe Kent doesn't matter, if Nick Fuentes doesn't matter, why are you spending $1.3 billion that we know of directly from the Israeli government for this? Why'd you give $18 million to Salem Media? You tune into that talk radio. I mean, it is just wall to wall. We're fighting Nazis, Muslims, and communists. And then the Nazis are anybody that doesn't do exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu and Ben-Gavir say. So I've got news on that as well. We've got a clip coming up of Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro enters an emergency warning. Doing a Mark Levin voice. Emergency warning. Where have I heard of those before? Emergency broadcast. They all do those now because we are in an emergency. I really want to highlight something. It's an emergency broadcast. Maybe every few weeks we have that headline. Emergency. Emergency. We're in an emergency here. Russia's talking about hitting Poland. There's a NATO report showing they're massing troops, and I checked it. It's true. Oh, NATO's telling the truth there, just like they were about Russia's getting ready to go in. I went and looked at the numbers and facts. I said, yeah, probably by late February. 4 months later, bingo, nailed it to the day. Is it built up? I said, the week before, I think they'll hit next, whatever the day was, the 22nd. Yeah. Called it. And I could get the Russians on. I'd have the Russians on. Russian talk show host, and I'd say, you're lying. You're getting ready to invade next week. And they go, oh, my feed cutting. I have to go. I don't just buy everything the Russians say. But I got them on for body language. I can look at them. Uh-huh. No invasion happening. No. Nine. Was that German you say nine? What's no in Russian? I'm such a Russian agent, I don't really know any Russian words. Yet. All right. I've learned how to say no in Russian. So, they're getting ready, folks. This is horrible. I mean, we're on the edge of total death. And look how corrupt we are. Look at all the sick stuff in the world right now. This is what happens when global economies are on the verge of collapse. You get giant wars. So we are in big trouble. But I'm going to play this report and then come back with the rest of the story, because I'll even update this from last night and say that Trump is trying to figure out how to run for office again. He's 80. He'd be 82 and a half when he got back in. You're like, well, wait, the Constitution. Well, you could argue against that. And this Supreme Court could go for it. But then it would be Obama he runs against. And so I think this is something we actually have to look at. You know, he's not been joking about that. I thought he was when he floats this all the time. And you know, they're saying Tucker Carlson, MTG, behind the scenes, looking for a third party to split the vote. I've talked about them. That's not true. I mean, you think they want the Democrats? They just can't sign on to what Trump's doing because they don't want to morally violate their integrity. But I don't then get mad at Steven Crowder that tries to take the good he can get and says this is terrible, but this is overall better. I don't get mad at people that have made that decision to continue to support Trump. Because I support the good stuff he does and call it the bad stuff. I mean, we need him to succeed. As disgusting as the Epstein cover-up is, I don't support that. I'm against it, but I'm also going to then, on the good things, promote it. It's pragmatic. It's how the real world works. So I'm not mad at people that are done with Trump. I'm not mad at people that are upset but still, you know, being apologists for the good things that are going on, because I understand the points of view. I understand a lot of Israel's view with the Muslims. You think, I'm not naive about Islam, but the way they're going about it and how they're doing it, trying to suck us in to do it, and now they got illusions of grandeur, greater Israel, and all of that, and the fact that it's not going to work, and then the fact they bully everybody and call us Nazis and come in and primary our people, and now they want to take over the Pentagon and intelligence to secure themselves, that's wrong. So then you become a villain. And I call you out, and look what you've done. Look how you're behaving. And it's not going to end well for you. And then I know you're powerful and influential and have half the billionaires, and so you're going to give us hell, and it's going to be nasty as you all puff up like a rooster, we puff up like a rooster, and meanwhile China and the Islamicists and the left run circles around us. But it doesn't matter. You're still the big elephant in the room. You got the power. You control Congress more than anybody, so we got to deal with you. Like a bunch of big goblins coming through the door to attack us, and you're the biggest goblin rushing up at us, and you are a political goblin under Netanyahu. I mean, you're throwing your weight around. I'm a loyal person to America. Not having you run our country and drag us into your war while you brag that it's part of a greater Israel and you're the masters of the universe and everyone's subservient to you and you say all that and you're going to exterminate everybody and Amalek and all the Christian Zionists saying we owe everything to you and we're, I mean, it's just like God, the arrogance. And I think the only people more arrogant than the people running Israel is these Muslims. I mean, even the clips of them. I mean, the imam. What's up with the arrogant stuff out of the Middle East? What's going on with you guys? You realize what a turnoff that is? I'm just sick of hearing how you're... It's not because I had grew up with some hard-on against you. But it's like you've got some megalomaniac problem, like herpes, that just comes back from time to time, and then you whine and freak out that people don't like being your slaves, and being told we're slaves, being told we're goyim. What do you think's going to happen? Well, you're going to roll the dice again and conjure another Hitler, and you think you're going to beat it. Meanwhile, everybody gets killed in the process. There's nuclear weapons now, dumbasses. You keep telling us, we got nukes, look out. No, we know that. The rest of the world has it, too. Like Pakistan, that's going to nuke your ass in 10 seconds if you nuke anybody. You nuts. But it's not just Israel that's nuts. I think mental illness and megalomania is just everywhere. The Russians are getting ready to hit Poland. It's probably going to happen soon. Mm-hmm. We're trying to stop it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. NATO's even more psychotic than the Israel nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got us all distracted with Iran while that's going on. All right, let's go to my report. Then I'm going to come back and give you the rest of the story. It's even worse than I thought last night. Here it is.
So let me just say, 3.5 years from now. So you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections? I wonder what the fake news is.
You're about to see a clip where Professor Zhang, who's a pretty smart guy, made a lot of accurate predictions, predicts that Trump isn't going to leave office in 2028 because he's going to run again. And he makes the argument that the Supreme Court could read the law and actually allow that. Now, regardless, we did have FDR that was in 3 terms and died in office. And when I was sitting back watching him, I said, you know, I think that's a bridge too far. I don't think Trump would actually try that. But he reminds us in the clip of the clip you just saw when the Ukrainian dictator Zelensky was here last year and said, yeah, I've canceled elections because we're in a war. And Trump goes, ooh, that's an interesting idea. I said it was a joke at the time, but you got to take it serious with the insider trading that's going on. Even the New York Post, it's pro-Trump. And I don't like to bash Trump. I need him to succeed. Democrats will put me in prison. Even the New York Post said all the corruption and evil of Hunter Biden and his dad was disgusting. Doesn't make it okay now when Trump does it. I mean, $1 billion U.S. government contracts with Tajikistan for tungsten. And then as soon as they hire his sons for a bunch of money, the U.S. does the deal. I mean, your dad does the deal after the sons are hired. And it goes on and on with billions from the Middle Eastern countries into Bitcoin companies. And then it's all lost, but the sons get it. And Trump's tripled his wealth since he got back in 1.5 years ago. There was almost no corruption in the first Trump. I mean, it was incredible. But this new one, they're making Nancy Pelosi and the Bidens and the Clintons blush. And Trump said he's going to give a blanket huge pardon, which Biden started the precedent for, to the entire White House. And they have the Justice Department saying, well, we're giving special letters saying all this is legal. And then you got the Qatari plane. When they first said, because I know for 10 years they've been trying to build new Air Force Ones, billions of dollars, cost overruns, Boeing can't even build a plane now, we're told to believe. So they said, hey, we'll just give you the same jumbo jet and we'll pay for it all. I thought, well, that's nice. A country can donate that to the, you know, Air Force. No, that's your, no. They donated the plane worth like 300 something million. They're put $1 billion of technology in it, U.S. taxpayer money, anti-missile defense. And now they're going to donate it to the foundation, the trust of his presidential library. And Trump is going to use the plane when he's out of office. That's $1 billion of taxpayer money, 300 something million from the Qataris for the plane. And now he's going to use it after, instead of Trump Force One, his private plane. He's going to have that. I mean, what's coming next here? I mean, we know the Democrats are pure evil. We know they're bad. Doesn't mean they're good. But I'm not signing on to this crap. It's absolutely outrageous. So when you see Trump being totally unbridled like this, maybe he is going to try to stay in office. I don't know, but imagine that. Then I guess Obama might try to run against him again if they have a Supreme Court ruling. And imagine that matchup. So anything is possible now. I'll just continue to call balls and strikes. And so here is the full statement of the researcher who's become extremely viral. He's been on the show before. We're having him back on next week, laying it all out. And you tell us what you think in the comments.
My big prediction is that I think Trump will get a third term.
Okay. That's a little wild. All right. What makes you say that?
Well, first of all, he and his family have been stealing billions of dollars. That's a lot of corruption, and it's really unprecedented. So if he were to leave the office in 2028, you would imagine the first thing that any new administration would do is conduct an investigation, because it'd be very popular among the American people. So I think that given his behavior, I think Trump is intent on a third term. So then the question then is, would he get a third term? And, you know, when Zelensky visited the White House, there was a White House gaggle, and basically a reporter asked Zelensky, hey, why haven't you had an election for the past, you know, 4 years? And you should be out of office. And Zelensky is like, well, you know, we're at war, so we suspend the Constitution. And Trump was like, wait, you can do that? And then Zelensky was like, you like that, don't you?
So let me just say, 3.5 years from now, so you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections? Oh, I wonder what the fake
news is. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to come back in the first five and give you the rest of the stories. I got some calls and made some calls last time. They said, no, you're dead on. He's openly exploring at the White House how he can run again. And you could say, well, there's a law against that. Well, there's arguments in the Supreme Court against that, too. Obama would definitely run against him again. It's just, it's wild. And if you see all of the beyond insider trading going on, I mean, it's just naked. They brag about it. Things have changed with Trump, and he just thinks he can do anything he wants. So I'm seriously concerned, and obviously Trump would be very unpopular doing that, except what if we're in a bigger war? What if there's a depression? What if they declare a civil emergency? Now, the Democrats have been trying to set up martial law for a while, but Trump has grown even bigger balls, and I mean, I'm telling you, anything is possible right now, because we're in such a crazy period in the world, not just with Trump. Everything's crazy. I mean, Russia's saying they're getting ready to attack Poland. They're not playing games. Hour number two, straight ahead. Stay with us to share the live feeds. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American. And know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us. And we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com, with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy.
Days.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Secret societies, the occult, or just schools of mind control. And those very systems were adopted by the Western intelligence agencies, the OSS, German intelligence, the Russians, and the CIA here. So much has been declassified. They just had hearings on MKUltra this week. I want to do part two of an interview we did last week live with Jesse Beltran, very smart individual with his background in mathematics, engineering, and science at UC Davis. Certifications in blood and airborne pathogens at Sacramento State University. Before that, he was a firefighter and EMT. But for two decades, he's been investigating covert mind control and chipping operations. And quite a bit came out of that MKUltra hearing. Some people thought it was a whitewash, but for a first hearing, it was a lot of incredible admissions. Like Jolyon West, deputy head of MKUltra, being assigned to Jack Ruby that killed the Patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald, Sirhan Sirhan, the Patsy for RFK being murdered, Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, being assigned and working with Charlie Manson, and much more. McVeigh, before he died. Before West died. It's all coming up, and they sent me so many exhibits and so many clips and some very interesting scientific research they've done as well on ways to mitigate this and counter it. I'm going to get more into Trump later in the next hour, potentially trying to run for office again. And I don't say that from an anti-Trump perspective. It's just I've confirmed from White House sources that he's not just publicly making the joke to kind of test the perch. You know, a parrot or a bird will, before it gets on a limb, will put its beak on it, put weight on it, see how it's going to work, kind of test balloons. What feeds into that? I've got more on that coming up after they leave us, Jesse Beltran and Matt Hazen here in this hour. And we're going to get them in studio. This is going to happen a few weeks ago. I had a family emergency. They already flown in when it happened, so I couldn't be here. I apologize for that, but they understand they're going to be in town next Thursday and Friday. We're going to do some deep dives, some commercial-free podcasts for several hours, getting into all this where we can, all their exhibits. But some stations don't care this first five, so I don't want to get into the main meat of the interview and the breakdowns right now. You can find Jesse Beltran at Mind Nexus Live on X and mindnexuslive.com. And you got Matt Hazen, who's an incredibly smart individual, and you've got so many scientists together working with him. He'll be joining us as well with some of these medical research findings and data studies and toxicology reports they've got. But bottom line, you see it all over the news now. Back when they rolled out COVID, I showed the patents that Bill Gates has about nanotech self-replicating in the shots, not just mRNA. Pfizer shot and Moderna shot, same thing. Moderna's just three times stronger. Or one shot, that's equivalent to four shots of the Pfizer. Actually a Pentagon operation. But self-replicating spike protein, self-replicating graphene oxide, growing the matrix into us. Now it's all over the news. Now it's basically admitted. We're going to break in about a minute, but Jesse, thank you so much for the work you've done. And so we're going to plunge into this on the other side, but just humor me for a moment, just your first take. What do you think about the reports that I've got from inside the White House that I can confirm that Trump is asking people if he should run again, which legally he supposedly can't do, though there's ways for him to get around that. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the inferences are there. You know, it is not out of the realm of possibility that that is the intent. And if you read, you know, through the lines, it looks like that may be a very realistic agenda that's about to happen. I agree with you that it probably isn't going to be a very popular maneuver. But in light of the global stage right now, Again, as unfortunately, because we've only had the option to choose between two parties, because anyone else who's ever attempted, I think Ross Perot was the one who came the closest.
That's
anyone
right.
Anyone else outside of the party.
That's right.
Has been.
Stay right there. We'll be back.
I put me spinach to the side, and I've been using Ultimate Power on the AlexJonesStore.com.
Information war. It's Alex Jones.
Well, they were going to have the hearings a month and a half ago, but the CIA raided Tulsi Gabbard. Then she was out the door, saying she shouldn't have had these documents, even though her office is over them. They wanted those MK Ultra documents. Now, MK Ultra came out of Operation Artichoke, and then MK Naomi, and then by the 70s, 75, 76, they had the church committee hearings. And what we know is bad enough from that, but obviously, as the experts on the panel said, it's far worse. But it was still amazing. A lot of people that are experts thought it was a whitewash, but this is introductory to the public. They only had 6 hours. Admitting that the deputy head of MKUltra program, Jolyon West, and Ewing Cameron, and then Gottlieb, were the handlers of everybody. Shoot John Lennon, they handled you. Shoot RFK, they handled you. Tim McVeigh, handled him. Sirhan, handled him. Yeah, there he is. Jack Ruby, all of it. Unabomber, CIA, MKUltra, same guys. And it's, you know, showing up the day McVeigh's arrested. He's there the day after. And then the day he's executed at Terre Haute, Indiana. If you believe that, they said that he was still breathing. Witnesses that were on the news said, no, he's still breathing when he left. McVeigh was really assigned to Delta Force, set up. I talked to all the people involved, talked to police, Delta Force, all of them. And imagine Jolyon West, the famous MKUltra guy, had been declassified in the 70s. He was deputy head of it. And he just shows up everywhere. When did West die? It was like 10 years ago. I mean, how prolific. And Ewing Cameron, tens of thousands of children kidnapped to Canada, the U.S. That's even on Discovery Channel, History Channel, decades ago. I remember being in high school watching History Channel, and I'd already read about it, knew about it. Some I'm like, wow, they just have these documentaries on, just admitting it all. And they grab a kid off the street, or they whatever, electroshock them for 6 months, audio, tapes, give them dozens of different hallucinogenic drugs, while they're programming them to turn them into a mind control assassin or a sex operative. And everything that Kathy O'Brien wrote about 31 years ago in Transformation of America, now basically has all come out. And now they're going to go from beta doing it covertly to overt brainwashing to the water, the food, the electromagnetic systems. That's declassified. I remember like 25 years ago reading in the Baltimore Sun, oh, the CIA on the East Coast and in the central area of the country has recently been testing cell phone towers that they've augmented, and they're able to make people nauseous, happy, excited, sexually aroused just with cell phone waves. And it's like, why would that be in the Baltimore Sun? A listener sent me a hard copy of it. We found the online digital copy, made a huge deal out of that. People got LexisNexis, they can go find it. I think it was like 1999, 26, 27 years ago. So a lot of times, too, they'll admit stuff here and there. It's like it's a trial balloon. And then I remember I was being told by, there's a thousand things to talk about, I guess, our guest. They're putting in Doppler radar in the early and mid 90s. I had a popular local radio show and stuff, and so people would send me stuff and approach me, and I had multiple engineers show up at events and stuff and say, hey, listen, I'm a certified engineer. Hey, I do this. I do that. There's microphones in all the Scientific Atlantic cable boxes. One guy told me, broke it open, showed me. I went on air, showed it. The FBI showed up plain clothes, threatened me the night I showed it. And back then, you weren't supposed to know about this, okay? This is like the mid-90s. And then one engineer comes and says, the Doppler radar, they're putting in power cables 10 times bigger. I'm involved. They use it to ionize the atmosphere and form nuclei to make it rain. Decades later, Dubai is making it rain with Doppler radar. You know, and then as soon as they blew up those high-powered radars, suddenly it rained in Iran for the first time in years. And those are dark radars that spin and are high-powered. They're beams and can totally control the weather. So the point is, this is all here. This is real. And mind control is now being fully deployed. This is beyond Havana Syndrome. So Jesse Beltran, for 20 years, been on the cutting edge of this with all of his research. He's one of the best sources out there. So I'm trying to give him the floor now as he sent a lot of clips from the MKUltra hearing. Then we'll get into more of this after the break. But, Jesse, great to have you here with us today. People should obviously go to your site on X, MyNexusLive, and MyNexusLive.com. So we got about 20 minutes to break. You've got the clips. You've got the floor.
All right. Well, thank you, Alex. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for being a patriot, and you're exactly what 250 years of this wonderful experiment called the United States of America really represents. And so thanks to platforms like yours and others who really touch upon very difficult topics, you know, and the MKUltra hearings that were just held on June 30th, headed by Ana Paulina Luna, regarding whether or not this transpired. And, you know, they've already established that it has, through CIA release documents that are, that they had access to. And I'm cautiously optimistic about the entire hearing. And the reason I say this is because they had witnesses that presented very good foundational information, but they did not have the experiencers, and the experiencers are out there. You mentioned Canada. I recently did a podcast with the woman who's heading that lawsuit, and because of what Cameron did to her father, and there are many others and relatives that are still pushing forward with that particular lawsuit.
That's why I raised Canada from my research and what was in the church committee, and I haven't looked at it in years. I know you're on it. Didn't they do as much kidnapping, brainwashing centers, safe houses, whole hospitals they took over, mental institutions? Canada did as much as the U.S., but that was like a main base.
Yeah, well, that was being funded by the U.S., and that was the issue. You know, the United States was not immune. And after World War II, even after Nuremberg trials and the Nuremberg Code, which the United States really didn't sign on to, and I think that's how they played this plausible deniability, where they continue to do the experimentation even after the Nuremberg trials. So that was revealed during this recent hearing. You know, and the whole agenda was this. The PSYOP is they claim that the MKUltra was a failure. But what was disclosed by the witnesses is that it wasn't. And what is really not being told, and this is when you talk about Jack Ruby, the Lee Harvey Oswald, and all of these Manchurian candidate type personalities.
Literally handled by Jolly and West, public deputy head of MKUltra for 45 years.
Absolutely. And why was he involved with each and every one of these cases? Now, I'm a master hypnotist. I can tell you that it is completely possible, and there have been demonstrations, to take a completely normal person who would not kill someone. You can hypnotize them, erase memory sets, so they you alter their value systems. You have them be triggered by, after anchoring certain behavioral responses under hypnosis. And once that anchor is established, then all you have to do is just fire the trigger. And the trigger can be anything. It could be a sound. It could be a hand motion.
And by the way, you're coming here next week to do like 2 hours nonstop, so you'll be able to get into it deeply. But West, it was certified in Congress, could create artificial mental illnesses with hypnotism, with LSD, PCP, and peyote, mescaline mixed in. and then 6 months of audio recording, it was 100% sex slaves, assassins, you name it. But with suggestible people and the right triggers, you could do it to basically anybody, and he was a master hypnotist. So people hearing this, you need to know, you have a degree in this from a top place in the U.S. This sounds like, you know, Naked Gun or something where they program killers. No, that's Hollywood making a joke out of real stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm fortunate. I got my training from the first nationally accredited school of hypnosis in Calabasas, California. And you'll be surprised at the type of students that are there. It wouldn't be out of the ordinary to have a CIA agent there, an FBI agent, a politician, ministers, all types of various backgrounds. And the question is, why? Why would these professional types want to learn these types of techniques? Well, what came out of MKUltra is ultimately they underemphasize the use of hypnosis. But when you combine hypnosis with hypnotic drugs or hallucinatory drugs, where you can put them deeper into trance, you can essentially get anyone to do anything, depending on what their suggestibility type is and having long enough exposure to them. And this is why when they talk about those incidences, why it was important for everyone to know. Because the whole idea was, can we erase, the MKUltra project was, can we erase memory sets? Can we get someone turned into an assassin, engage in that behavior, and then forget everything, not be able to recall a thing?
And explain that. That's where the trauma control comes in with kids, particularly, to make it work 100%, is you break off different personalities that you can invoke and control and compartmentalize. So sex ops, murder, delivering photographic memory messages. You don't need to put a chip in somebody's tooth with microfilm to get into Russia. The person's programmed only with the key words. They then regurgitate volumes of information. It's like in Dune, the Mentat. They actually create those.
Absolutely. And this is why when you get individuals with multiple personality disorders, you can, about 95% of the time, you can trace it back to a childhood trauma. And what they do is they induce that trauma state in order to split the personalities, because what happens is one of those personalities is the one that will take all of the pain, all of the abuse. And then that alternate personality is a protective mechanism that the subconscious creates so that it doesn't have to endure those traumas. So this is sort of a protective mechanism. But when you can induce that, then you can essentially program each and every one of those personalities to do whatever you want by the utilization of hypnosis, advanced drug therapies, to specifically cause this and utilize anchors and triggers. Now, there's
Dune is all about. And Frank Herbert was a super insider with the system and the Republicans. So he's a lot more than what you read the first book, the others get cheesy and just made money off those. That first book is a master coding of how the real secret societies operate. He basically admitted that.
Yeah, correct. And what I'd like to do is share with the audience is the first clip. It's from Dr. Stephen Kinzer. He was one of the witnesses. And he gave a testimony about Gottlieb's given a license to kill, and his synopsis of what he believes Gottlieb was during the 21st century, if you pay close attention, is very interesting. So if we can play that, that would be great.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Let me begin by expressing my gratitude to this task force for confronting the enormous issue of overclassification of government documents and the culture of secrecy that enables it. I'm especially gratified by your interest in MKUltra, the project the CIA carried out through the 1950s in an attempt to find the secret of mind control. MKUltra was one of the most secret government programs in American history. The chemist who directed it, Sidney Gottlieb, lived in total anonymity. My book, Poisoner in Chief, may be the most complete account of MKUltra that exists in public, but I'm painfully aware that I have discovered only a small portion of what MKUltra was and what Sidney Gottlieb did. In 1951, the CIA hired Gottlieb and directed him to launch what became MKUltra. Gottlieb believed that in order to find a way to implant a new mind into someone's brain, you first had to find a way to destroy the mind that was in there already. In its search for ways to destroy a human mind and body, MKUltra conducted the most extreme experiments on human beings that have ever been carried out by a U.S. government agency. By any standard, they qualify as medical torture. These experiments took place in prisons, clinics, and safe houses in the United States, in Europe, in Asia, and even in Latin America. Officers of MKUltra were authorized to travel to foreign countries, preferably those under formal or informal U.S. occupation, and ask the local CIA station to provide them with expendables, human beings who would not be missed if they disappeared. Gottlieb had what amounted to a license to kill issued by the U.S. government. Neither the number of MKUltra victims nor the number of those who were experimented to death is known. Gottlieb, as a result of this license to kill, might have been the most powerful unknown American of the 20th century.
And it went Gottlieb, Ewing, Cameron, Jolly, and West. And you mentioned it earlier. They say Fauci's a continuation of this, violation of Nuremberg Code. The Democrats freak out when that happens. Violation of informed consent, executable under international and national law, serious crimes against humanity. That's what COVID was a giant externalization of the MKUltra system. Now let's go to clip two. Dr. Stephen Kinzer, the new technologies Stephen Gottlieb could never have imagined. They even get into the wireless waves, cell towers, radio waves in their own technology, which is 60, 70 years old. Not just chemicals, not just repetition, not just hypnotism, but magnetic waves. We'll get to that coming up, but here's clip two.
This task force could also consider trying to determine whether some new incarnation of MKUltra exists today. When the main phase of MKUltra drew to a close in the early 1960s, Sidney Gottlieb concluded that it had failed, that in fact there is no such thing as mind control. Even if he was right, however, he may have been right only at that time. In the many decades since then, there have been enormous advances in cyber technology, in artificial intelligence, in neuroscience. Covert agencies may have access now to tools for mind control that Sidney Gottlieb could not even have imagined.
And to know how widespread this is, I'm just going to throw this out there. Well, when you come next week, I'll tell more than I ever told. But my dad at 14 had the top test scores in Texas, won the science fairs, all that stuff. And he got approached by a program set up by Eisenhower, but Kennedy was president then. And they said, oh, whiz kid, his mom was the principal of local school. We want to send him to Plan 2 UT. And my dad never told me about really any of it until I made the film Endgame. And then he said, no, this is all real. This is what happened. But I didn't like the projects I was in. He told me some of it when I was a kid. Just don't trust doctors, don't trust hospitals, they steal organs, all this. I worked at MD Anderson for a year when I was, 15, Houston, under the UT program, and he would talk about people would sign away, they were terminal, and he said it was wards with no mandibles, cancer patients, and he said it was all just to see if the young people and the interns would go along with killing people. And I'm like 12 years old, my dad's telling me this on hunting trips, just as a side. Then later he told me even more about it. He said, I went out of the program. They said, we'll put you in another program. And they won't even tell me what that was. And then by the time he was 18, he said, I'm going to go be a dentist. I'm done. But the point is, it wasn't just him. It was everybody else in Texas that had the top test scores were in this program. That's how big this is. And he said they never called it MKUltra, but it was all directly under DARPA. So we hear about MKUltra all day. Even Dr. Kinzer points out this is just a tiny piece of it. Jesse Beltran.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. What's interesting that you brought up your what was happening as a young man. I've been studying. I probably have the largest database in the world, independent database of HI victims, Havana Syndrome victims, MK Ultra victims, you name it. This is all under one umbrella because it all feeds into one each other because the whole agenda, the whole goal was to conquer the human mind and the subconscious. Because if you can do that, you can basically control and rule the world and manipulate whatever scenarios you want. And so part of the other projects were not only specifically to individuals, but to large demographics. So large numbers of populations or what I call demographical biospheres, in order to manipulate them through radio frequencies. And that is what was disclosed during the hearing by the witnesses, that that was the intent. And so now with the advent of in neuroscience, as the advances that we, our forefathers, probably never, ever imagined, the capabilities that we have today, Gottlieb would probably flip over in his grave and do jumping jacks, unfortunately. And so that's where we're at today. I recently have a client who at the age of 14, was recruited in the Long Beach area, and she was being taken to a Navy base, and they were, she can describe the path, describe everything, very intrinsically, and talks about how they were putting her in CT scan machines, hooking her head up to wires, having her, just think about processes, and they were capturing all this data. Next thing you know, she was being put on, military aircraft and taking to overseas in the Middle East. And at a very young age, she was made into an assassin. Ultimately, the reason she came to me is because she's now experiencing what people would call Havana syndrome or AHIs. Now, this is just one out of many of the cases that I have. I literally have thousands. I see colonels. I see captains in the military. I see attorneys, I see doctors, I see physicists, scientists, PhDs.
Well, let me throw this at you. I was in D.C. about 6 years ago with a bunch of former top Navy SEALs in Delta Force. These are some of these guys are famous, and they said, I was talking about this. They go, listen, a couple of years ago we were on a mission for months guarding this base in Africa, a U.S. base, where they had all these gifted children with all of this stuff. It was all classified, but it was all sorts of magnetic waves. They were implanting them with stuff. They were saying, yeah, that they had seen that. And so that's how widespread all of this is. And what you pioneered, what they admit now is, it's the chips and now the liquid chips and the nanotech. It's not just they're hitting them with waves. They have been filled with this. And they had a Donald Pleasanton was in a BBC show in the 60s, I forget the name of it, where they were even talking about it then, putting these chips in people and then magnetically controlling them. So they were just throwing it in our face.
Absolutely. And now it's here and there. You know, our MI6 whistleblower calls this system a multifaceted system where it can be a synthetic telepathy device. If you ever imagined that we would go from Star Trek flip phones and all of a sudden we have flip phones to this device here, which you were holding up, which is probably, this is the precursor to the conditioning. Yeah. The conditioning that we will no longer need these because, you'll be able to do this all in your mind, surf the internet, all because this IoT, IEEE, technology where every one of us is integrated into the internet of things, and basically we become one hive mind.
That's what people don't get is computers work just the same way. They're just lower level than us. We it's like, this is how the universe works. We just plug right into it.
Correct. And yeah, you know, again, it's not the technology that's bad. It's unfortunately who's in charge of it, who's at the top. And
how it's being deployed covertly, stay right against our will. I'm going to come back and play clips from the hearing talking about this and more. Stay with us and share the feed. Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation, through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary.
We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit Complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited issue, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at the AlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
And now our coming attractions.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world.
We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones.
Whoa!
We love you, Alex!
I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more!
Hey, Libtard! Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
You, Alex! Suck my d-
What a bunch of garbage. Liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh, Antifa speedbug. Move, bitch! Get out the way!
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to bring down the new world order!
Yeah! I want freedom. That's what I want, and that's what you should want.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
How you look on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. Ladies and gentlemen, bovine colostrum is known for decades by women and loved. You know, doctors push it because it works. And nutritionist for your hair, your skin, your nails. But that's the outside. Imagine what it's doing on the inside. That's where it has its most important effect, is in your guts, your immune system, and your organs. Bottom line, all of the high-quality supplements we sell at thealexjonesstore.com have a 5-star.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
1968 BBC production, Donald Pleasance, a 30-minute TV program called The News Benders about the total false reality, the implanting of microchips to track and control key members of the society and civilization, then them using that to then recruit the people once they've already been prepared. Here's a short clip from that TV show.
Yours is very low. 0.2. That's very low. Just what we'd need. Sit down. Please. I'm sorry, the language must seem rather strange at first, but we take it very seriously. Just to show you how seriously, I'm going to tell you how we checked up on you. We call these things surgical transmitters. One was fitted inside you. when you went into the Charing Cross Hospital 3 years ago. Appendix, wasn't it?
Transmitter? Are you trying to tell me that you listen to every word I say?
A machine does. Untouched by human hand. There's a little gadget in these things that ties up with the pulse rate. Puts a bleep onto anything that you're excited about.
Or the ghost murmur?
British.
Power quotient. Surgical transmitters. High speed tape. It's Doctor Who. I'm for the real world, Jack. Good afternoon.
I should just have to give you an example. On July the 26th, 1966, you were talking to this girl, Sheila, about love. You said to her, I quote, "The kind of love I have for you, Sheila, well, it's bed love and it's more. It's staying in bed till 6 p.m. and saying I can't go to the office today. It's eating breakfast at twilight, laughing at leaves on the pavement."
I don't believe there's any such thing as these surgical transmitters. You got Sheila to tell you all this. Then you wrote it down the way I might have said it. You're a good guesser.
Can you hear your heart beating?
It's eating breakfast at twilight, laughing at leaves on the pavement. Getting a cab to a silly movie to Paris. It's moving when you're tired of staying still. And I've done it all before when I could do it with no ties. Now to just be irresponsible. So there really is one of those things inside me. What do you want?
We want people with low power quotients. We want them to work for us. Nothing more sinister than that.
And that's the ultimate thing. They let you know it's there incrementally, and then they bring you in, compartmentalized, and the more ruthless you are, the more higher up you go in it. And next week, Jesse Beltran and others and his team are coming here to do live shows, to do 2-3 hour deep dives, whatever it takes to do the tour de force on this. We got more clips, more to get to. We have a guest coming on about 10 after next hour, Syrian girl and geopolitics to hit, but we need to move quickly here. But this is so important, and you need to know about ways to mitigate this, being aware of it, and other things that are key, what their MI6 whistleblowers have told them, what's in the literature. Silicate. If anything in nature, there's a counteraction to it, okay? We'll be talking about that in a moment. But here's a clip you mentioned, Representative Boebert, witness testimony, radio waves, directed energy weapons, clip 5. Okay, well, please grab the Boebert clip because I'm told he sent us these, and we can definitely add those in post. Here are the clips I have. I'll read them to you. Clips from Anna Paulina Luna hearing on MKUltra, CIA committed crimes against humanity. Clip 1, Dr. Stephen Kingser, witness testimony, Gottlieb's license to kill, most powerful unknown American of the 20th century. Time run 226. Clip 2, Dr. Stephen Kinzinger, new technology Stephen Gottlieb could never have imagined. Tom O'Neill, witness testimony, CIA misled Congress, Charles Manson. Clip 4, Representative Eli Crane, questioning Dr. Elizabeth Genexi, former scientific official with the NIH Psychiatry Trust in Science. NIH has integrity problem. Okay, we do have clip 5 now. Let's go ahead and roll it. Here it is.
Thank you. And I would love to let you gentlemen just talk some here. But when we're bringing up operations like Naomi and MKUltra, there's Operation Mockingbird that was going on at the same time as MKUltra. And it really ties into what Congressman Burchett was talking about with radio waves, where we have these like a Venn diagram of individual people and the military casting a broader net. So you have the radio waves, computer activity, the Operation Mockingbird, the programming that is taking place. So what do you see in relation to what was happening then and what we are seeing now that could be types of the same kind of programs and even using direct energy weapons or the like? Mr. O'Neill, you can begin.
I would just like to say one thing. There was an objective outlined in the early proposals for MKUltra to do experimentation to see whether they could do mass conversion, you know, convert entire populations. I think that had something to do with the France incident that you were talking about earlier. Again, today, it's all speculation, but back then, they were trying to use psychological means to see what you could, how you could influence people's thoughts.
That's right.
And Mockingbird played into that, which, if people don't know, that was where they had CIA assets or co-opted people in the media who would write basically propaganda and try to control the thoughts and beliefs of the population to what the CIA needed. And is it still going on today? I would be surprised if it wasn't.
Sure. I think we saw it even during COVID.
Yeah, they admitted that was a psyop run by the Pentagon and psychological warfare experts. So we're now out of beta into operational. They moved mainly out of drugs, are still part of it as a background, with 30% of the public on psychotropics or more, into the electronic waves by the 80s. That's where we are now. Jesse Beltran.
Yeah, we are absolutely there. And that has been the foundation of my work, thanks to Dr. John Hall, who was the author of back then, Satellite Terrorism in America. And then his second book, subsequently is called Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, in which he writes about my work in that book. The bottom line is we have been detecting anomalous frequencies that go back to various agencies, most of them teaching universities, military subcontractors, and unfortunately, DOD type agencies. And so, and that ultimately led to the surgical removal of non-consensual biosensors that have been implanted in some of my clients. And as recently as 2.5 weeks ago, I have another case where one of these larger implants, we have foreign bodies, I have to call it foreign bodies until it's surgically removed and identified, but it is emitting an RF frequency, and we're setting her up to surgery and getting chain of custody and establishing.
And we played clips last week from hearings in the 90s with DARPA and the CIA admitting, oh yeah, there's all these glowing devices we see on MRI scans and CAT scans. They admit they've done this, but now you said about 15 years ago you began to see them move away from the chips to the nanotech that goes into the nerve centers, which you find now decades ago and almost no one. Now the majority of the public has it, and you find that special ops and military people have way more than anybody else, along with diplomats.
Yes, and that is all exactly true. UBOs, Dr. Francis Collins, and that'll lead into our next clip, who I think in our previous episode we showed that article where he and Fauci were collaborating on how to basically squelch dissent amongst doctors out in the community who were saying, wait a minute, the science isn't making sense. And if we could pull up that clip where Representative Eli Crane is questioning Dr. Elizabeth Genexi of the NIH, and granted, this is a psychiatrist. Everyone listening, in 2011, I was brought to the Presidential Bioethics Commission in San Francisco in the Bay Area, where the heart of all this stuff has been happening.
It's
MK Ultra hearing. Yeah, that has been the headquarters. And listen to just how pompous they are. Amy Guttman at the time said that they were the elite 1% of the top 1% that should decide what is done to our bodies because we are too stupid make a good decision.
Here it is, clip four, MKUltra hearings. MKUltra hearings Tuesday. Here it is.
Have done some good work, but you just brought up trust. Do you think the NIH has a trust problem based on how they handled COVID?
No, I do not. I think that the NIH is beloved by the American people because we know about
totally untrusted
advances in human health and cancer treatments and heart disease and diabetes all of the health gains that
sicker and sicker
the research
when you run
has produced.
Well, I think you're wrong, ma'am. I think the public has a serious mistrust issue with the NIH. Do you deny that the NIH tried to cover up the origin of COVID?
I'm not here to testify about that. That's not my area of science. I have no knowledge of that.
Do you believe that the NIH supported masking and social distancing when there was really no science to support that?
What I'm more concerned about is what's happening right now to destroy the Biomedical Research Institute that has been the envy of the world. And right now, we're ceding our leadership in biomedical research to China. That's what's happening right now.
What about covering up harmful side effects of vaccines and the role that the NIH has played in that? What do you have to say about that, ma'am?
The U.S. history of human subject protection has evolved greatly. Numerous research improprieties from the 50s to the 70s in the United States, including the Tuskegee syphilis study, forced Congress to establish formally federal
mandated
rules.
You know what I'm asking you about? I'm asking you about how NIH handled COVID. Obviously, this is supposed to be a hearing about MK Ultra, but when you gave your opening statement, and I don't even know why you were called to this hearing, because you didn't offer anything about MK Ultra. But since you are here and you're going to defend NIH, I'm going to call you out on it. Do you see now what I'm talking about? When you say that the NIH doesn't have integrity problems and trust issues, did you hear the applause in this room? That should tell you right now that you're pretty tone deaf to what the public thinks about how the NIH handled COVID and the cover-up, not only the funding of it, but the cover-up involved in the aftermath. Can you acknowledge that?
I'm sorry, that's not my understanding.
All right, by the way, it's been declassified that the entire military-industrial complex of the world, to quote, brainwash and make the public scared. It was in the BioShield program 2004 and then the Operation Lockstep, Rockefeller, CIA, John Hopkins 2010, that they would have us 6 feet apart, wear masks, close the sporting events and things to make us scared for the PSYOP, for training, for carbon lockdowns, and to have our cell phones be able to leave our houses, turning the whole world into a prison. I've shown you all the documents, shown you the clips, all of it. The CDC put out a report predicting the heart attacks, myocarditis, blood clots, infertility. Before the shot even rolled out, they tell you what they do. They're all in on it. It's absolute pure evil. Now I'm going to go right to this because they're coming in next week for the deep dive. I want to bring in Matt Hazen, who works heavily with Jesse Beltran, and I'm going to just go directly to solutions. Know about it, congressional local control, lawsuits, expose it, be aware of it. But also, with their MI6 interviews, you look at this in literature as well, when they implant them with all this liquid nanotech, which they're now doing to the public, they tell them take Silligant when it overblooms and they get sick from it. And then a lot of times they have so much of it, even regular radio waves and cell towers hit them and they just get sick because of the basic nano plugs they have. It's not just when they're being hit actively or being communicated with or carrying information where you can program the body with information to later be scanned. And that's what people now are coming up with, you know, Apple IDs from their bodies. It then also picks up the rest of the pollution and magnifies that from my own research. But I want to bring Matt Hazen in because we need to talk about, and we'll go a little bit the next hour we have a guest, because it's hard to even get into this. There's so much. We have so much clips we'll get to next week. We do the deep dive. But there's solutions. And then it also funds this operation and the research they're doing, and that is zeolites. I've had zeolite sponsors for 30 years. You know, it's on government websites, the rest of it detoxifies heavy metals and toxins and all that. But with these nanotech systems, spike protein, you name it, it goes in and pulls it out. But the zeolites they have, and we always promote their one big one, but they've got three others as well that are special. And we'll put it on screen for you, getmasterpiece.com. When you go there, you get 10% off on it. And I've been on these. It absolutely detoxifies you. And I was on it a few months, been on it now about 6-8 months. About a month into it, I told, like, sand was coming off my thighs, my head, my skin. Never had stuff like that. I've had, like, oil pieces come out like anybody. This was, like, grainy, and they said that would happen. Pushing the metals out, it would even smell like metal of the toxins. So it's not just the stuff they've nanotech us with. It's all of it, the microplastics, all the garbage. So getmasterpiece.com, and it supports the broadcast. You're insane if you don't get their products. So I want to do a plug here because it's also important to have solutions. You do your own research on zeolites. There's a lot of great ones out there. Bailey's got a great one as well, but at thealexandershore.com. But this particular one is hands down very special and the best. And it because it takes this special sea mineral combination that a scientist developed with Matt Hazen. It's published, by the way. And now he talked about it last week. They sent us this. This is people they scanned, certified with these readers, and then they did the zeolites and what it showed in the toxicity reductions of up to 70%. That is a big deal. So I want to bring Matt Hazen in, and I want to get Beltrans, and we'll get more of the clips from Congress and more of the clips that Hazen sent me that are very important here. But let's do a plug for this because it supports the broadcast. It absolutely is amazing. I'm on it. It's such a, I mean, look at my skin just the last few months. I mean, it's incredible. And obviously it did its detoxification because after a few months I started having the like sand coming out of me, but it was like black or gray and you smelled like metal. And I probably should, if I'd done it, have that tested, you know, what's it doing? And Jesse can speak to that, and so can Matt Hazen. But everybody needs to get the zeolites. You've got the best, four different types, but the main one is Masterpiece. So Matt, tell us about, these are third-party top labs that did these tests on people. Tell us what we're looking at right here, and we'll put it on screen. We blacked out their names,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Absolutely, Alex. So what we're looking at is a study that was done in 2024, and we're going to be looking at the third-party lab results. This has never been shown anywhere before. We had to do a double-blinded peer-reviewed study, so we are going to redact the names from it. But we're looking at testing the lymphocytes in the blood, the intracellular level, which means we're looking at the nano-size level. So when you're talking about toxins, toxins are never nano-sized accidentally. They don't show up in nature nano-sized. So it is a synthetic, it's a modifying process away from nature. And we're looking at literally line one, polyethylene glycol. That is a part of your encapsulation system for the mRNA delivery system. And so we can see, and if you go to 15, that is graphene oxide. So we are literally looking at aluminum, aluminum salts, arsenic, different type of neurotoxins such as cesium-137. And what we're looking at is the results from a German lab. And this spawned off the what now is Masterpiece is by far the most attacked product ever seen. We have two full-time big attorney teams handling domestic and international situations that are coming in from regulatory agencies and whatnot, which is ridiculous for a sea mineral, all natural, no preservative product. So bottom line is, folks, you feel sick because you have too much poisons in you. Your health goes downhill because it's 100% rooted in chemical poisoning, in radiation poisoning, and or the synergistic effect of both of them, okay? And so when you get out these toxic paramagnetic materials such as graphene oxide, all the materials that we're discussing that make the MK Ultra or Havana syndrome phenomena happen is to do with these toxic electromagnetic responding materials. So we are the only ones that have fearlessly tested these before and after taking Masterpiece. This was 24 study participants. 13 of them, Alex, were jabbed. 11 of them weren't. 16 of them had been PCR tested. All of them, but some people were very healthy. Some people weren't, but all their levels were high. And so that's very important. No matter who you are, no matter where you think you're shopping for your food, or if you turn down the COVID vaccine, rest assured that when we test your levels for glyphosate and all these other, they are high. It is everywhere. So how do you take care of it? Right at a dollar a day, right at a dollar a day. That's literally what Masterpiece costs. This is how you protect your family in a proven way to cut down the sickness in your life. Look, we've now done 7 completed human clinical trials testing the toxin levels in blood, urine, and hair, Alex. Jesse also did his nonlinear junction scanner for a study that we completed in United Kingdom. All these studies had different third-party lab testing and all had identical results of about 55 to 85%.
Well, bottom line, what's crazy about the system demonizing this, because obviously what they're doing with the shots and all of it is, just like they spent $2.2 million, that was Associated Press when they reported that, with CBS and Walgreens telling them don't give out ivermectin, even if a doctor prescribes it, don't give out hydroxychloroquine while the elites were taking it, because they literally wanted people to be sick. I mean, it's so evil. Zeolites, people that don't know, explain what it is, and then sea minerals, so when it goes through, it replaces it with the good stuff your body needs. I mean, this is like literally trying to ban people, selling garlic or something. I mean, it's just crazy. And
Learn how to discern like a master research epidemiologist, which means follow the results, right? And when you look into nature to find out what are we going to create that is going, such as masterpiece, that's going to work. And when you look out into the world.
Yeah, but if you look up chelation in just mainline research, if you've got mercury poisoning, whatever it is, the doctors will recommend zeolites. I mean, you buy zeolites at Whole Foods, but they're pissed at you and your scientists because they added this mineral, which how is that different?
It's completely different because clinoptilolite zeolite is amazing at binding all toxins, but where toxins stick, where they're magnetically stuck, is the same exact places that minerals go. So people experience a mineral deficient health episodes. What zeolite does that is different when you combine it with minerals is simply grab out a toxin, but then in the environment, other toxins, which are more magnetically charged than minerals, will take back its residence. So it's a dogfight to try to just grab out the toxins. What we see with Masterpiece and the real reason why our results are exponentially better is because it is magnetically carrying in the highest sourced sea mineral plasma solution that has been monomolecular structured. Everybody hears the word structure, but monomolecularized.
And you were saying it matches the body, right?
Identical to your blood plasma. It is isotonic, marine plasma, what you would say in every way. If you go into a lab and you test this solution in every type of way, every type of device, it will be 99.7 or 8% identical to your blood plasma.
I'm just going to say this. I mean, you look at zeolites, everybody knows what they do. You add minerals that are great for you. People should talk to their physician, do their own research. Obviously, and the corporate media always says, Jones sells or its sponsors do stuff that's not FDA approved. Well, that's the Grass Law of 96. The FDA doesn't have jurisdiction. Obviously, we're not saying this is a drug. We're saying this is a naturally occurring mineral and zeolite.
FDA doesn't approve anything, Alex. FDA doesn't approve anything.
Yeah, I understand. That's what I'm saying. So this is a key point when, like, they have the national news go, Jones sells supplements that aren't FDA approved. Nothing at Whole Foods, nothing at Central Market, nothing at HEB, nothing at anywhere you go, nothing at GNC. Is that because they don't have jurisdiction when you're sitting there and you're, getting creatine or you're getting any of this? And the reason that industry grows and grows and grows is this stuff really works. And the system doesn't like people having access to bovine colostrum or methylene blue. And then when you look at zeolites, known for detoxifying, pulling garbage out, it just shows how sick and evil. Next, they're going to claim mother's milk is a bad thing. So again, do your own research, folks. Look into it. Understand that I'm not making any claims. You can go look at this up for yourself. This is what I'm doing. It's been great for me. And I'm telling you right now that the globalists are pissed off. And you guys have your MI6 whistleblowers and others, what they were told with their own Havana syndrome about silicate. So we'll get to silicate in general. Any other ways people can detoxify themselves as well, we'll talk about that with our guests. But I want to hit a few more clips with you because we're almost out of time. But the good news is next week we will do the deep dive on this. And with even more documents, we've not even scratched the surface. We're going to do hours and hours. It takes 3 hours, we'll do it, going into the whole thing. Because people want this. I do, too. This is so important. We're not just opposing the tyranny. We're talking about solutions to counter it. I'm Alex Jones. Hour number 3, Syrian Girl and more coming up. Stay with us. You noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married or a dream to start a business or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists at Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at alexjoneslive.com. And, of course, at the alexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We are unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Time. We only got 5 minutes left. We had all these clips we didn't get to. We're going to have Jesse Beltran and Matt Hazen back on. We are in studio and some of the other researchers. But you sent me a bunch of other clips here. How many people do you know who've been diagnosed with all this? Renowned EMF researcher Robert Obecker, U.S. patent for altering brainwaves, data centers in Nashville. What is the deep dive, Jesse Beltran, then popping in Matt Hazen? Because I know there's a lot I want to cover that we're going to hit next week.
Well, the deep dive is that we'll be able to demonstrate some of this. And I'm even thinking, brainstorm, and I'll talk offline about something that we could show the audience that exists, and it wouldn't take too much time. But basically, we're going to go step by step, talk about the history, show you the documents, show you the proof, that none of this is make-believe. We'll even show our recent incidences where we have, I spoke about the client who recently we found an object in her that is emitting an RF, emission. We'll show you those medical diagnostics. So this is still happening. The bottom line is that now you're implanted, but you're implanted with much, much smaller technology that you can't see with the human eye. 50 nanometers in size, 1/2000 times the width of a human hair. And what does this mean? And talk about ultimately what this fight is really about. It's about the children and the generations to come. That their cognitive freedoms are under attack. And if they won't even be able to distinguish their own memories, their own thought processes, and from whether it's theirs or falsely imprinted or remotely imprinted in them, it is nothing less than slavery on a scale that we've never experienced.
And it's come out that that's what the COVID shots are, is putting the plugs in us, but it's the coverings, the appeal products with Bill Gates. It's everything. They're flooding the zone. We'll get into the sources of that with you guys as well. But great products you've got, not just the Masterpiece. You get Masterpiece.com. You guys are amazing. I remember when I first met you guys like 8 months ago, you're like, here, have a bunch of this. You got to get on it. And then Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL, is like, this stuff's great. My dreams are great. My skin's, I was like, yeah, you're losing weight. You look great. And so I finally got on it like 4 or 5 months ago. And it's just amazing. People need to experience it. It supports the broadcast. I've taken other SEAL lights before, you know, that did some good, but this is way better. Get Masterpiece.com. You guys have really done something special. And Matt, I want to just commend you and the scientists and researchers and the work you've been doing over the years to do this. And I'm really excited to do the deep dive coming up next week. What else is front and center you want to cover next week, Matt?
We should probably cover a little bit more detail so that people can learn a little bit about this overall grid, this 6G grid, if you want to call it that, and where humans interact with it and what we can do to keep us from being pulled in to losing our middle cognition and our personal autonomy. So that's a very big deal. But they really covertly snuck these data centers hard in us. And those are the GPUs, CPUs, and decentralized part of this overall Earth computer grid. So that's a big thing, I think, that we should explain a little bit better so people have a
absolutely.
A little bit
better. And I'm going to have a lot in this, too, because I want to get into the intergalactic communication system. The psychiatrist and DARPA that came up with the plan in the late 50s, deployed into trying to build it in the 60s. They declassified it in the 80s, part of it. They call it the intergalactic communication system, and it's this huge node interfacing with humans that is going to try to create a mind control mass cyborg system when Google got founded in 98 with InQtel and the CIA and their founding documents with Eric Schmidt, Larry Page, Sergey Brin. They said, we're building a giant internet interface cyborg. So our interfacing with the AI is the cyborg. It's pretty amazing, huh, Jesse?
Absolutely. Our forefathers never envisioned that we would be at this point where the Constitution should have been written to protect the cognitive liberties, your thoughts, and keep that ultimately the most private and the most precious God-given gift we have.
Well, you guys are doing an incredible job, and so thank you. When you go to the URL, getmasterpiece.com, you get 10% off automatically by using that URL. This is something you really should try, and it supports the broadcast of 360 Win as we approach the 250th anniversary of America. Matt Hazen, thank you so much. Jesse Beltran is at mindnexuslive.com. We'll talk to you both next week in studio, podcast, and more. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe.
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Potsum amici, mugunera, sutra di preferis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We're only at the halfway point in this live Friday, July 3rd, 2026 transmission. This 250th anniversary means so much to me because for 32 years on air, I've been fighting for the Republic and for pro-human values, pro-God, pro-family, and for full disclosure of everything that's going on, but really trying to focus on the reality. I don't get into chupacabras and Bigfoots and you know, space alien stuff because you can't prove it one way or the other. Though we look at the cover-ups and things that are going on. I look at weather control, geoengineering, mind control, the mass poisoning, the poison shots, because that stuff we can all prove and people still have trouble believing it. But now the Great Awakening's here. And the problem is we've got so many people that now think that, you know, all the old courthouses they see around the country are 5,000 years old, even though you can go look at the original documents and meet people's, you know, great-great-grandpa, you know, that built it. People think the world's flat. And they think everybody's a clone and, you know, everything else because they just don't know what's going on. They know they're being lied to, but they go into the most insane conspiracy theories. And after Syrian Girl leaves us, I'm going to give you an example of that today. And then we've got the amazing, always incredibly informative Jay Dyer with all the globalist owned documents, their own admissions. He's like 99% of what he talks about is just reading their quotes, but he's researched more than I have. More than anybody I basically know, into all of their own books, their own white papers, their declassifications, their admissions. It's going to be incredible. But Russia is talking about going into Poland now or other countries that are amassing the weapons and attacking them. They're very serious about it. You have the Iran situation that's totally degenerated, and we're now 126 days into that. We're going to talk to Syrian Girl, who's one of the smartest reporters and journalists. She's also a scientist on all of this coming up here. In just a moment, she's in Australia in the middle of the night, so she's connecting with us right now. But first, Darren McBreen put together a great update on the year 2000 And one film I was in, Waking Life, that Richard Linklater was nice enough to call me up and put me in. So now we've got an updated version of that for 2026. Here it is.
And now our coming attractions.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world.
We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones.
Whoa.
We love you, Alex. I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more.
Hey, Libtard, Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
You, Alex, suck my d***.
What a bunch of garbage. Liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you. Two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams getting for control the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh, Antifa speedball. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? Stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to bring down the new world order.
I want freedom. That's what I want, and that's what you should want.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
All right, look, I'm not going to talk about this. I have a lot of reasons. And I haven't really even told family or the crew this. They got PIs following me around again. I know it's Southern Poverty Law Center, the Democrats and the feds. And they've got all these Bloomberg connected groups stalking us and, you know, putting out hoaxes that I've been killed in Austin and my head blown off. And they even show me in my car as part of the stalking. And you know, it's real footage, but not my head being blown off. And that, you know, I've been it's all just threats. Like Kimmel said, Hillary's coming for you. We're going to kill you. And then all the stuff started with that as if I don't already know all that stuff. And it's just all part of what they do. All I'm asking is that all of you understand I can't do this without your support. And we're in fundraising mode because I want to hire more hosts, more reporters, more crew. I want to do more than we ever did at InfoWars here at the Alex Jones Network. We're bringing enough funds to operate, enough to finish the studio. But I need more funds, and the products are really great. So our great sponsors like Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, wholesale, best price, best, highest rated, biggest company. It's right there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's the group that, you know, owns the network. And that's bigly with all the best Patriot t-shirts, the very best supplements and more. It's all there on the site. And we are running a giant sale right now, ladies and gentlemen. The biggest in the history of TheAlexJonesStore.com. Definitely the biggest of the year 2026. It is the 250th anniversary, America's anniversary birthday super sale. The best selling supplements are buy one, get one free all at once. Methylene Blue, buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is like 50. We've got this little jewel here, and I'm very excited about this. 2,000 of these came in. Another 3,000 come in next week. Minted in Missouri. 2,000 are in right now at the warehouse in Arkansas. It is the Jerusalem Cross on one side with 1776 full ounce of pure silver. the United States of America, Cessna's Centennial, 250 years. On the other side, the American Eagle. On the head side, with America 250. And this coin is a fundraiser coin to fund the operation. It cost them $67 to make at the time of minting. It is $117.17. $117.76. And that way we get, you know, 30, 40 bucks in to fund the operation. It's a memento that you fund at the tip of the spear. It's historic. Again, I'm not selling it as wholesale silver as an investment. You're investing in freedom. You're investing in liberty. Like PBS gets all the taxpayer money. I don't. Or NPR, billions a year from the taxpayer, though that's stopping. And then they have constant fundraisers. Oh, get this ball cap for $100 donation. The ball cap costs them 10 bucks. I mean, you know you're not, you know, getting it at regular price. You're getting it to fund the operation. Or get this coffee cup for $100 donation. The coffee cup's costing $5. This costs $67. And then we're getting 40-something bucks to fund the operation. So it is a fundraiser coin. 5,000 are going to be made. 2,000 have been made so far. Those just arrived today. And so we're able to launch it before the birthday. These will probably sell out by early next week. And then 3,000 more come in at the end of next week. So I need your support. These are great historic coins. I want to thank those that have funded us in the past. But get the coins now at thealexjonesstore.com and change the world. And I will fearlessly march forward against the enemy. They are so pissed. We're still on the air, reaching record numbers of people. America's 250th limited edition silver round. Real troy ounce, 0.999 fine silver. On one side, American Eagle flying over the flag, America 250. On the other side, 7076 in the United States of America, sesquicentennial, and the Jerusalem cross. Get it right. Oh, and VIPs get it for $99. So we make like 30-something bucks on that. So VIPs always get a better deal. If anybody, you're going to buy supplements, T-shirts, whatever, you want to be a VIP, canceling time for free, $30 a month, you get $40 instantly when you're charged to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and special sales on everything. There's already a big sale on something, you're a VIP, and there's something on top of it. It makes a bunch of stuff lost leaders. Everybody should be a VIP, canceling time for free. And that is what allows us to try to stop all these wars, try to stop new lockdowns, expose the tyranny, help the people. That's what it's all about. And our great sponsors like GetMasterpiece.com. All right. Joining us now is Maram Soosli, an amazing lady, a scientist, but also a journalist. And her family was in the ruling party before they got run out by the Assads, who she wasn't for, but said are a lot better than the head of Al-Qaeda. They just put in charge. It's purging the non-radical Muslims and the Christians. And our own government backed that under Biden. Now Trump's been supporting it. And she can give you the real skinny. She's recently been to Iran, gone to the shopping malls, the streets. The women aren't wearing hijabs. Basically 99% of what you've been told isn't even true. I'm no fan of the mullahs themselves and the fact the CIA helped them get in power originally. But at that point in Operation Ajax overthrew Mossadegh in 53, it was pro-America, tried to put them in, but the Shah got in. The point is that even the Shah said that the Mossad and MI6 were working against the Iranian people, just like Israel founded Hamas and stood down on October 7th. So we hear, oh, well, you're either for Islam or you're for Israel. No, there's all these different branches of Islam and competing groups, so that we can't let them dumb it down. So I'm going to give her the floor till we go to break in about 12 minutes to give her analysis of what's really happening in Iran, Syria, Israel, the whole world turning against Israel, Israel trying to run our domestic operations, what she thinks Israel's going to do next. As we continue on with the Strait of Hormuz still closed. So you can find her on Twitter at Partisan Girl, on YouTube at Syrian Girl Partisan, on Telegram at Syrian Girl Partisan. And so Syrian Girl, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm going to say right off the bat, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties, so my camera might try to flip. I'll flip it back when it does.
I know it's like 4 a.m. in Australia, so thanks for being here.
It's always an honor and a pleasure, Alex.
So, you know more than I do about this stuff. You've always been spot on. What's really happening? And even if the camera messes up, we'll just go to B-roll. Just go ahead. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
No problem. So, the camera might mess up from time to time.
Okay,
I might
don't worry
have to
about
switch
it.
What's happening? I think we're on the, essentially we're locked in. The U.S. is locked in to something the U.S. has been avoiding for about 3 decades, a war with Iran. So Netanyahu, as we know, went to Congress over many, many years before even the Iraq war, trying to get the U.S. to attack Iran. And unfortunately, now he's finally succeeded in that endeavor. And what Trump has promised to be a short, 6 weeks, I think, is gave his limitations.
First they said 4 days, then they said 6 weeks. Now they're saying years.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as though it's going to be years. Just from what happened with Syria, which you and I both covered extensively. And, we feel that, it's probably going to be longer than what happened with Syria because Iran is a stronger country. And it's going to have an impact on the world economy. The U.S. economy is going to suffer, especially with the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. And I think there's going to be some sort of escalation happening even in the next few hours because the stock market is going to close, and that's when we may see an escalation. So I think that I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this perpetual war situation. But I really think that what's behind this is, unfortunately, the amount of power that the Zionist lobby has in the United States and their desire to create a greater Israel. That is like to throw out the two-state solution, no Palestine, and take everything from the river to the sea. That is everything from the Nile to the Euphrates, which is includes parts of Syria. It includes parts of Lebanon as well. And we're seeing Israeli occupation expanding in both Lebanon and Syria while this war with Iran is happening. So any sort of, cooler heads are not winning here because they are fighting against what is essentially a theocratic end-of-the-world cult that wants to bring about the coming of the Antichrist, essentially. And that might sound crazy, but that is they're literally trying to find a red heifer to a red cow to basically sacrifice at an altar in Israel in order to bring about the apocalypse. So that's the people who are leading the government into war. Like that's who's in charge of our world right now.
Absolutely. And what do you make of Trump, where for 120 plus days he says, we've won, they're defeated, it's over, the strait is open. Okay, now it's not open. I'm going to obliterate them if they don't do it. Okay, now we've made a deal. The deal's 100% done on his birthday. All that. He's done like 50-something times now, literally. He does this same cycling. He has come out and criticized Netanyahu and said a bunch of strong stuff of her behind the scenes that indeed goes on from over a year ago with Tucker and others since then. But then he can't seem to get – I'm not even trying to like take the blame away from him. Clearly, Netanyahu's bragged that Midnight Hammer he launched first and then the stuff back on February 28th. And then you got the Israel lobby now even attacking Trump, saying he stabbed him in the back. They're primarying people. They're threatening everyone. Israel is now the most unpopular country in the world. They don't seem to care. What do you think is happening with Trump, and what do you think is going on in Netanyahu's brain? And how is there any way to stop this? Because the mullahs aren't going to fall. The strait's going to stay closed. It's going to destroy the world economy. More people are going to die. Trump's going to lose. The Republicans are going to lose the midterm. And then why does that make Netanyahu so happy?
Well, actually, it reminds me of, again, the Iraq war when Bush came out and said mission accomplished. And of course, we had a decade of war after that. So the question really is this going to be a similar situation? And I believe yes. Trump, apparently they signed a deal with the Iranians, but the deal had to include a ceasefire in Lebanon. And the Israelis simply wouldn't agree to that, which scuffled the deal. Because at the end of the day, the Israelis do not want the U.S. to stop going to war with Iran. So why would they ceasefire in Lebanon? They want the ceasefire to collapse. And if it's essentially they've achieved that. Iran has had no choice but to close the Strait of Hormuz. Because if you think about it, Lebanon joined the war to support Iran. So they can't make a deal without Lebanon, because the only reason Lebanon restarted its war with Israel is to support Iran. So it has to be like a combined thing. You can't divide and conquer.
And it gives Israel cover, as you said 6 months ago on the show before it happened, to take Lebanon. First they said, we don't want Lebanon. You're anti-Semitic if you say it 6 months ago. Now they say, we're not just taking the South, we're taking it all. Ben Gavir, the U.S. ambassador from Israel, Huckabee, I mean, they're now admitting it all out in the open. Why?
You know what? I think that they don't care anymore, as you said. You know, they become the most unpopular country in the world, but they are thinking long term. They're thinking, we want to get rid of everybody who in this on this piece of land that doesn't follow our religion. And we don't care what anyone thinks.
And now they're saying they want to attack Turkey and Egypt, too.
Yes, which is so strange to me because Turkey has been an ally of Israel since Israel was formed. Turkey actually was one of the first countries to recognize Israel. Turkey has been making the military shoes that the IDF wears. They export billions of dollars of oil to
and they just Israel. Split up. And they just split up 2 years ago, your home country, Syria, with them, though Erdogan does some lip service, as you pointed out, but that's it. So why are the Israeli ministers saying, even the opposition party, as you know, we got to be ready to go to full war with Turkey, the biggest conventional military in Europe?
You know, this is actually quite funny, and I do apologize for my
It's okay,
camera.
We don't care. It's fine. Your boom's broken. We get it.
So essentially, yeah, the Turks, I think they bit off more than they realized when they went in and invaded Syria. There's essentially a Turkish occupation of Syria right now. Turkish military has been in Syria for several years. Turkey is one of the strongest countries in NATO, and it's basically the tip of the sword of NATO. So they didn't realize that by taking over Syria, by occupying Syria, they have taken responsibility over Syria, and therefore they are in Israel's way. Israel wants to occupy Syrian land. They've said as much in their documents ever since 1982, the Odeh-Dunam plan. They've carved out sections. It's more than what they already occupy. They already have the Golan Heights. They want to go further into the to Sweida, and that would mean that they would have to go through Deir ez-Zor as well to get to the Euphrates River, which is what they biblically want. Turkey is essentially now in the way. It's not so much that Turkey is doing anything against Israel. It never has. In spite of all of Erdogan's, vote for me, I'm against Israel talk. They have not done anything against Israel. And in fact, they've constantly tried to make some sort of peace agreement with Israel in Syria. But yeah, like you said, they are threatened by anything in the region that has power. And now the Turks are in Syria, and therefore they border Israel. And because Turkey is powerful, therefore they have to be the next target. It's a never-ending war, right? So long as Israel is a Jewish state in the region, and when I say that, I mean it has to be under their guise, it has to be an exclusively Jewish state. And therefore, the demographic majority have to be Jewish. And therefore, you have to ethically cleanse everyone who isn't Jewish. As long as that is the case, they will be perpetually at war because it is kind of like something that doesn't belong in the region.
And you said that 10 years ago. I've been interviewing you 15 or longer since this whole Syria thing started. Mm-hmm. Israel now says, and as we push the borders, we must attack those then because our border is bigger. And now they admit greater Israel, which they always said wasn't true. And they expect the U.S. to stay on board with that, and because we want to cut the money, they go, don't worry, we'll just merge their military and co-own everything, and they call it a marriage. I mean, this is wild, and you know me. I just want stability. I don't want to kill the Muslims. I don't want to kill the Jews. But, I mean, Israel now has become the stereotype of trying to control the world, and statements about we're masters of the universe, Israel will be the center of the world, we're the superpower now, we don't need America. I mean, what is going on over there?
Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to say that 10 years ago because you know you believe in freedom of speech. And back then, it was actually much, much harder to say these things, which are now obvious to everyone. And it seemed crazy at the time. It seemed, the idea that Israel is going to expand its borders into Syria, you know, it seemed further, more than the Golan Heights. It seemed crazy, but the idea of Israel itself seemed crazy at one point. I mean, at one point, the percentage of Jews in Israel was 10% because it was Palestine, right? And then it was mass waves of immigration before World War II, but then after World War II, but then also most of them arrived after the fall of the Soviet Union. So that is where we're at now, where this concept of Israel is someone's idea that it's happened. It's something that in the past people thought, no, that's just a conspiracy theory. Jews are just coming to Palestine. They're not going to create an Israel. They just want to come here. It's only 10% of the population. Okay, now it's 50 to 60 to 70%. But the point is that they have their eye on this goal, and even if it takes them 100 years, they're going to get there, and they're going to drag everybody else with them. And with Trump, you know, you mentioned Trump. Trump is being blackmailed. If he goes against them, they're going to, like, impeach him. They're going to come up with the Epstein files again. His daughter is married to Jared Kushner.
Let's talk Jared about Kushner. It. The Syrian girls, stay there. Got a hard break. We'll be back to get more into this straight ahead. Stay with us.
A lot of hype in the world. A lot of talk. But when you look at what we've done together, exposing the globalists and launching a worldwide populist movement against their tyranny together, it's insane. That's why they've come after us. And that's why they demonize America. The globalist transhumanists wanted to destroy the idea of a free market, open, free society, the American system that became the apple of the world's eye. They want you to think all the tyranny is because of the American Republic. No, it's because of the globalists that have taken it over. They are the ones that want to break our will. And that's why it's so important to not take a knee during the national anthem. That's why it's so important to be proud of the good things in America. Private property, the right to self-defense, the right to own your own business and live your own life and worship the God you choose or not worship God. And that's what we've stood for so long. And now at AlexJonesLive.com, relaunching the new network, everything we're doing, it's so important to understand the enemy wants you to hate America. They want you to blame America for the problems and the things we witness. No, it's the left. It's the globalists. It's the transhumanists. It's the UN. It's the WF. It's the neocons. It's the warmongering rhinos. And that's why they hate what we're doing at AlexJonesLive.com. That's why to celebrate the 250th anniversary of this great republic, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. Buy one, get one free on all the best sellers. 50% off on Patriot Apparel, and it finances the second American Revolution worldwide. We've done so much together, but I'm here to tell you, the greatest days of the information war using the truth against the liars are just now arriving. Humanity and the Great Awakening, the fourth turning, is here. Their COVID lockdowns were openly designed, they admitted, to train us to be prisoners in our own homes, to work from home, to consult our smartphone before we can leave our house. But it backfired, and they've lost all the trust. And so that's why we got to press the attack right now and celebrate America's 250th anniversary, because it's an idea they fear. It's 1776 worldwide. Their transhumanist globalist death cult cannot operate worldwide if people remember America and remember the freedom. And it can rise like a phoenix again, and it is rising like a phoenix again. And that's why I'm celebrating this 250th anniversary with so much pride and honor for our ancestors and our veterans and all of you today that have stood against the globalist tyrants. I salute you, and that's why this anniversary is so incredibly critical, because the threat we face today is greater than the threat our forebears faced in 1776, July 4th. But we have more people awake, and we have technology as well, and that's why the globalists are in so much trouble. We defeated King George III 250 years ago, and we will defeat the globalists today thanks to your action. So please support our operations now as we stand together and get incredible supplements that will empower you and enrich your life, and great Patriot Apparel to spread the word and keep us on air and celebrate America's 250th together at thealexjonesstore.com. How you look on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. Ladies and gentlemen, bovine colostrum is known for decades by women and loved. You know, doctors push it because it works. And nutritionists for your hair, your skin, your nails. But that's the outside. Imagine what it's doing on the inside. That's where it has its most important effect, is in your guts, your immune system, and your organs. Bottom line, all of the high-quality supplements we sell at thealexjonesstore.com have a 5-star rating. We have over a 90% reorder rate. Nobody has that. These are all the best because I want them to work. I want you to love them. I want you to appreciate us and be happy with what we brought you, so you reorder it again and again. Believe me, folks, bovine colostrum is one of our best products. You want to get it, get the ultramethylene blue, get our Shilajit gummies, our CMOS. They're all incredible products, but this colostrum really is special. Get yours now, again, at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you again for keeping us on the air.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
If you like to gamble, I tell you I'm your man. You win some, lose some, it's all the same to me.
Al-Qaeda, not just head in one country. He was the global head. Osama bin Laden 2.0. And you have the British setting up Saudi Arabia 120 years ago and taking over much of and taking over Damascus and Syria. You have them using him to overthrow Mossadegh in 53 and Iran, Operation Ajax. You have Zbigniew Brzezinski and Jimmy Carter setting up the Mujahideen, and then Reagan, and then right through. And then you have Israel creating Hamas and then standing down and giving them all the money. And then they point at them and say, oh, look, there's these radical Muslims, as they use them to overthrow non-radical countries or countries that aren't as radical. You have the Arab Spring by Obama overthrowing Egypt and our allies and blowing up the churches and killing the Coptic Christians and everything. And then I just know all this. And then they're always like, you work for Qatar. Well, I didn't get a $300 million plane from them. And then the U.S. taxpayer paid $1 billion for retrofitting it with high tech and anti-missile. No, I don't get money from Qatar. The biggest U.S. military base in the Middle East is there. They are working with the globalist. And so it's the neocons. It's Israel. It's they're the ones. And then there's a long history of this. And then I literally have these influencers and talking heads and national hosts saying that I worked for Qatar or Iran, which is totally not true and no evidence of that. And then they literally are working with them. So there's this sick behind the scenes triple game. And I want to play this coming up. It was played on Harrison's show yesterday. You guys want to know where to get it, where you got Ben Shapiro, little Netanyahu, saying it's an emergency. We're going to lose the midterms. And then if you don't support Trump, and then he's going to get impeached. Well, it's this war that is the most unpopular thing. It's killing the economy. All the pollsters and experts agree, even pro-Trump pollsters like Mark Mitchell, that this is killing things. And now NATO's upping manufacturing of weapons all around Russia, and Russia's about to hit Poland. So, I mean, this is a wild, out-of-control situation. The EU and NATO are crazy. The Israeli leadership is crazy. You look at Ben-Gavir running around beating up people on flotillas, women and men. I mean, they're just nuts. And I don't want to. Here's the thing. Israel knows that if it can get everybody against it, it will get the billionaire Jewish people on their side, and they think they're going to come out on top on this. This is a major roll of the dice. This is absolutely cuckoo town crazy. And I'm not the one putting al-Qaeda in charge of Syria and having them to the White House. I'm not the one with a U.S. military base, the biggest in the Middle East, in Qatar. I'm not the one doing all this. And it's just it's a nightmare. And Iran knows they keep the strait closed. They know we dropped 40,000 bombs. We dropped 7.6 million on Vietnam. They didn't fail. And so people saying Trump's playing 3D chess and we're winning this. I don't see it being won. I agree with you, Syrian girl, that we're locked into this chaos now and that there's got to be an off-ramp. So speak to that, and what could the off-ramp be?
Well, you know, the idea that the winning, 64 days of war, I believe, the U.S. also lost 64 aircrafts, most of them Predator drones, but also AWACS and whatnot. So it was a devastating blow also to the radar systems, billions of dollars. And the U.S., you know, its prestige in the world as it's fighting this small, tiny country, Iran. So it is a big loss, and it's going to only continue to increase. And we are kind of locked into it now because the Hormuz remains closed, because as long as Israel continues its war in Lebanon, the war is going to continue. And it seems that the U.S. can't reel them in. As we said, Trump's daughter is married to Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner actually had Netanyahu sleeping in his bed when he was a kid. That's how close the relationships are with these people. The idea that Qatar is giving you money or giving me money is so hilarious, because Qatar is the country that bankrolled the war on Syria, which Israel supported. Israel for years and years, since the start of in 2011, was saying we want to get rid of Assad. They gave money to the Syrian rebels, which are al-Qaeda. We said that they were al-Qaeda. People called us conspiracy theorists. They called them moderate rebels. And lo and behold, who turned out on top? Who turned out to be the leader of that so-called revolution? It was al-Qaeda. And now al-Qaeda is in charge of Syria. And that's what Israel wants. Because at the end of the day, they're going to turn around and say, we have to bomb Syria because there's terrorists in it. They've already done that. It's the same playbook. right? In Gaza, as you saw, you know, there was this history of Israel backing Hamas in order to suppress the socialist, like Soviet Union leading resistance at the time. Now, if you guys got to look this up, and I'm telling you it's the truth, Israel is actually backing ISIS cells in Gaza in order to fight Hamas. Yes, we're talking ISIS. If you look up like Israel, ISIS, and then write what's wrong with that, it's from the Israeli media itself questioning this policy of backing ISIS groups in Gaza. The thing is, the history of using these terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all from, you know, the time of the Afghan war, it's nothing new. And we're still shocked by it every single time that people think that it's so outlandish that it can't be true. It is the truth. And they did it to Syria. And unfortunately, after many, many years, we lost that war. What's going to happen now? They're going to try the same thing in Iran, of course. But also, you know, Iran has proven like it's not going to fall quickly. I remember at the start of the Syrian war, they were saying that Syria is going to fall. Like, we've reached a tipping point within the first 12 months. Every single day they were talking about
how long did it take? 16 years?
I believe about 14, 15 years. Yes, it was. So we're looking at something longer than that. Iran is four times as big as Syria and much stronger. So it's also full of mountains. It's like Afghanistan on steroids.
What do you think of
right?
Trump pushing the Pentagon for a ground war option if Iran is 4,500 times bigger than Gaza, took Israel years to get partial control of it, and $50 million in bombs? How in the hell do we think that's going to work?
I think he understands. I'm sure the Pentagon will stop him because it's like, it would be a suicide mission. It's full of mountains. It's full of, Iran will hit them from the air with drones. I mean, what's going to protect the soldiers from Iranian drones? Nothing.
Yeah, we'll put a topography map up. We'll put a topography map of Iran. Military historians have said it's like it's built to be a fortress, completely encircled by mountains, up to 16,000 feet tall. I mean, that is a fortress country. Go ahead.
I mean, look at the Hormuz itself. Like, look around the mountain. Like, that little bit of sea is just that park is full of mountains. And all of those mountains have air defense systems in them. And stuff built into
the
ground.
Well, look at the Strait of Hormuz down there, that little dimple down at the bottom. That is a armed camp. I mean, that is a death trap.
And they're it's full of sea mines as well. So I think there's a reason what we haven't seen a ground invasion. There was some sort of airdrop that happened because a pilot crashed, and there was some sort of like airdrop, and it was a fiasco. And
yeah, they were trying to get uranium.
Oh, yeah, I think it was like, they claimed it was to pick up a pilot, but no, that wasn't really what it was.
Yeah, you don't send a bunch of C-130s to land at a military base to do that.
Well, the C-130s were destroyed. Like, some of them just were no longer airworthy, so they had to leave them behind and blow them up. There's videos of it. So that was a fiasco. So I think that was the attempt at a ground invasion. It's not Iraq. This is not Syria. This is not Iraq. There's no, Iraq's like desert all the way through. This is completely different scenario. So I just don't see it happening. And therefore I see a much more protracted war as a result of it not happening. Thankfully, maybe that'll mean that it'll be less U.S. soldiers dead, but maybe not, because now Iran can target U.S. soldiers anywhere in the Middle East, right? So, look, at the end of the day, it's up to the American people. It's also up to the Middle Eastern people, because I feel like the Middle Eastern people have just been completely sleeping on the job, not doing anything in terms of their monarchies. These monarchies, like the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, they've been having all these U.S. bases. They've been bankrolling these wars. They've been making deals with the Israelis. The Israelis pretend to be against Islam and whatnot, but they're desperate to have these relationships with these Gulf Arab oil wealth. And their dealings with Epstein is already on the record. Like, Epstein met with the Qatari king. He met with the Saudi king. You know, at the end of the day, it's not just the Americans that need to rise up. It's the Arabs as well. The Arabs have done nothing to stop this war, unfortunately.
Yeah, you can look up the average sea level of Iran. It's thousands of feet. The tallest mountain's 18,000 feet. The average mountain's over 10,000 feet tall. I mean, the place is a ridiculous fortress.
Yeah, I don't see American soldiers climbing that mountain while being hit by Iranian drones. I don't think that's a thing that's going to happen.
And let's be clear, folks, there's nowhere where there's not mountains around it. It's like Mordor or something. If you look at Lord of the Rings, you know, Tolkien made it literally like Iran. It's like literally a circle of mountains around it.
Well, you know, even without the mountains, I mean, Iran has ballistic missiles. You know, it's shown that it can hit outside of its borders. So, look, maybe they even have a nuclear bomb. I know that, I think was it ex-CIA agent, I forget his name.
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson, that's right.
I've been saying it for 15 years. People think I'm being pro-Netanyahu. They're always 2 weeks away. They could always put them together. Now they go, we're going to ignore the old FATA. Well, now we can build one. They're letting everybody know they got it. Was I not right, Syrian girl? They're admitting they do now.
I think you're right. I suspect so, because I think if Iran didn't have it, it would be turned to ash right now with like a massive aerial campaign. Maybe the crazy people in the Zionist lobby will try to push for that.
That's why they're so hysterical, but it's too late. But the thing is, Iran has always said they'll be proportional. They're not as crazy as people have said they are. They've been very proportionate to all this stuff.
See, this is the thing with Iran, actually. That's one of the problems with Iran is that they're not playing the mad dog doctrine. Like they're acting like very rationally. And as a result of that, I believe, ironically, that it's causing escalation. Because people are like, oh, well, Iran's just going to act rationally. They're not going to go crazy. And so as a result, they're like, the other side, the Israeli side and the Zionist side, is pushing things more and more escalation because they're not afraid of the consequences. If Iran had tried to play like a North Korea style doctrine, perhaps it would not, have resulted in this escalation.
Well, what about Pakistan says if Israel nukes Iran, they'll nuke Israel. They got high tech nukes. And then you got North Korea saying they will now. So that is quite the escalation there. And then Israel's threatening to use nukes and trying to get Trump to use nukes. This is insanity. This is total bonker town.
I believe in the Cold War doctrine, there is one doctrine where if any nuke flies from anywhere in the world, then a nation with nukes will just use nukes on everyone.
It's called mutually assured destruction.
Yes. The Russians have that kind of doctrine.
And everybody has mad. It's doomsday doctrine.
Yeah, and you know what? They don't care because Trump has a nuclear bunker everywhere he goes. He's building that room that he's building in the White House is a nuclear bunker, by the way. In Mar-a-Lago, it's on the record. He has multiple nuclear bunkers. Anywhere there's a golf course where rich people golf, usually there's a nuclear bunker. So if the war breaks out, head to the golf courses, find those nuclear bunkers, demand entry. Because that's the only threat that these ultra rich billionaire class has, to worry about a nuclear war. For them, a nuclear war, it's just a money making opportunity.
That's right. I want to talk about consequences. I mentioned Ben Shapiro will play it in a moment. But yeah, they've got bunkers all under DC, all under Maryland, Side R, the Briar Green Hotel. That's just old stuff. Huge complexes that go all the way out to Colorado Springs, Cheyenne Mountain, and to Denver. That's all confirmed, folks. And that's why we've got such an arrogant elite. There's record level building bunkers, not just by Zuckerberg, but by others. I know, I read the news about all these big billionaires running to Argentina and the rest of it. And I know people that build, the stuff for people that aren't billionaires, but are worth hundreds of millions. They're building big bunkers out in the middle of nowhere. They've got airfields ready to escape, to fly up near the Arctic Circle in Canada. I mean, it is just absolutely crazy what's going on. Here's Ben Shapiro yesterday freaking out saying emergency. If, you know, you got to support the Republicans or they're going to impeach. Emergency. We're going to lose the midterms because people are anti-war. No, they knew it was super unpopular. They knew it would close the strait. They knew it would cause all this inflation. And the Israel lobby doesn't care. They're all a bunch of never Trumpers. So they're going to have their cake and eat it too now. This is crazy. And Trump now knows this, but he just wants to get this deal, but Iran won't give him a deal. They say, you got to leave with the military. You got to give us $300 billion. And Iran knows they hold the cards. And Trump walked into this trap. Other presidents didn't. It's so sad. Here's Ben Shapiro acting like it's all of our fault. But when it's him and Mark Levin and Benjamin Netanyahu and Ben Gavir's fault, here it is.
If they were to gain control of the Senate, they would move to impeach President Trump. There's an outside shot. They could even get a conviction in a Senate split between a Democratic majority and maybe some rogue Democratic senators. They, of course, will stymie any effort to refund our military, to restock THAADs, Patriot missiles, to build the new kind of military we need to actually challenge our enemies in the world. And again, there is, as I say, the possibility that President Trump gets impeached in the House and then even convicted in the Senate. That's all what happens if the Democrats win the Senate. So there's like very, very serious stuff. And that sets it up for 2028. Because if Democrats control the Senate in 26 and the House in 26, then they are one step away from having trifecta in 28.
Yeah, like that's genius rocket science, pal. We told you they wouldn't call. We told you they'd close the strait because massive inflation derailed Trump's plan. Everybody's pissed off about the economy and then the war. In all the polls, that's why. You did it. You did it. And now you act like you're warning everyone about what you did, Syrian girl.
You know what? It feels like also it's a threat. You know, he's basically saying like, if you don't do what we say, you have all these things hanging over your head. Is it a coincidence that the Epstein files, you know, were brought back up around this time? Is it a coincidence that this thing is over, like this impeachment thing is hanging over Trump's head? Isn't it interesting that even Biden's son, Biden, who presided over the majority of the genocide in Gaza, to genocide Joe, his son said that he was being blackmailed by the Israelis? Okay, so if they, Ben Shapiro, the little Netanyahu, who the never Trumper, he actually represents one side of control when he's like the handler for the Republicans. But there's Zionists that are handlers for the Democrats. Kamala Harris's husband has links to Israel too. So the problem is systemic. And Ben Shapiro, you know, he obviously has loyalties to Israel above all else. I'm sorry. He's not loyal to America at all.
I understand. I've had a boom break before. Don't apologize when it happens. We just cover it with B-roll. It's okay. Go ahead.
That's very good. Well, no, I'm sorry to say, but he is loyal to Israel above all else. I mean, he said as much basically that he's thinking about leaving the U.S. and going back to Israel because Trump isn't bombing Iran and all.
Yeah, well, that's what the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Is saying, Huckabee. But let me raise this. You have 2 years ago, Nat Rothschild, the main heir to the fortune from Lord Rothschild, who is all over the Epstein files with him being their main representative on the Trilateral Commission and with Epstein, on a yacht, some 200-foot yacht in the Mediterranean with Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. They look at this big Russian bunker from Albania, one of their biggest bunkers in the world with thousands of underground facilities, I mean, literally thousands of little bunkers, hundreds of big ones, former nuclear missile base. And Nat Rothschild says, I'm going to have the prime minister helicopter to us. He's going to let us have this. He gives them $5 billion. Then millions learn about it because Ivanka goes on TV a few months ago and brags they're taking it over, and they're taking the national seashore away. They put fences up so you can't get it. The deal's not even public. But they brag they've done it, then they deny it. Millions protest, and it just shows you that here's the Rothschilds, the main Epstein people, literally with Jared out on the yacht, taking people and setting up new private islands for the elite with underground bunkers. It all comes full circle back right there. There you have it.
I just find it astounding that Ivanka can just go to a different country and come out saying, I just want to buy this. You know, this is another country's land. I can just buy this and build a private island. That's how I want to live. Like, if you heard the interview, it's so funny how she says it.
Oh, we played it.
When you get older, yeah, maybe you can play it. When you get older, you have to think about how you want to live. And how I want to live is to buy some private island, like buy someone else's country and turn it into a private island. They're not even turning it into like a resort for the public.
We're taking their main seashore, and then they put a fence up and want to worry about riots. No law was passed, no nothing. They just put up fences, arrest people. She says they control the seashore. They're building a huge airport there that the Germans are going to bankroll. The Rothschilds are bankrolling it. And then they go, where's the law? And the prime minister goes, it's not true, but the fences are up, so they riot. Millions hit the streets. Yeah, here she is. Total cuckoo town. This is Marie Antoinette crap right here. Unbelievable. Syrian girl, thank you so much for spending time with us. 60-second closing comment. We'll talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you always for having me on. I know the war in Syria is over, but the forever war continues. So I'm, again, honored to be here always. Unfortunate, sad about Macy's loss, and just goes to show you the influence and the power that we're up against. You know, this is one of the last libertarians. Thank you, Alex. And hopefully, I don't know how we're going to get out of this, but the people have to figure out a way to get out of these forever wars and pull off the chains of Zionist control, because we are all under Israeli occupation, including here in Australia. Forget about free Palestine, free the world from the Zionist occupation. So thank you very much.
Well, I know this. If you look at things, well, I guess we got a minute or two left on this. Syrian girl, you said, you know, they'll probably put Al-Qaeda a couple of years ago, even before this happened, in charge of Syria, and now they're killing the non-radical Muslims, they're killing the Christians. The Islamicists, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, get on their motorcycles by the thousands, ride into Christian towns, burn them down, kill everybody. The Israeli settlers are doing the same thing. Even Huckabee had to say, please stop that, in a letter, but he backs it. And it's just like crazy. And then Israel's carpet bombing Christian areas of Lebanon, blowing up the oldest churches in the world. And I'm supposed to just say, oh, this is cute and funny. You predicted it. What's happened in Syria in the last 26 months since the head of Al-Qaeda was put in charge?
Well, predictably, they began slaughtering minorities. And when I predicted this in 2012, people, again, called me a conspiracy theorist. They said, you know, there's no Al-Qaeda on the ground. To my face, they said this. We have seen massacres of Alawite Muslims, which are very, very, very secular, very moderate Muslims, leaning on Shia, massacred just like farmers in the streets. The Druze, there's videos of these men, Jolani's men, just walking into the streets and saying, what religion are you? Pointing a gun at someone's hand. In the minute he says, I'm Druze, he gets shot like an old man. You know, it's really, really upsetting. The Christian, like the church in Damascus, through 14 years of war, the churches in Damascus were untouched. Now that Jolani's in power, for the first time ever, a church was bombed in the heart of Damascus. Now they will try to wash off all of these crimes by like appointing an actress as a member of the government, or, you know, allowing dance parties here and there. But there's laws creeping in that are trying to Afghanistan, Syria, and it's just not suiting the Syrian people.
And you're calling him Jolani. I know he has multiple names, but what's he go by now, the Al-Qaeda leader?
Jolani was the name that he went by when he was under Al-Qaeda, you know, Abu Muhammad al-Jolani. And so I'm going to continue calling him by his Al-Qaeda name, not his Ahmed al-Shara. I've been calling him Goilani as well, because he's never fired a gun at Israel, even while it invades more and more Syrian towns every day, taking over more and more Syrian territory.
Well, Israel supplied weapons to Al-Qaeda and gave them field hospitals, and that's on record. I'm supposed to go, oh, thank you for supporting Al-Qaeda, Israel. If you don't do that, you're going to hell. Oh. You're going to hell if you don't support Israel supporting Al-Qaeda. Support Al-Qaeda or you're anti-Israel.
In the words of the ex-Mossad agent, they didn't attack Israel, so it doesn't matter if they attack the U.S.
Unbelievable. All right. At Partisan Girl on X, YouTube, Syrian Girl Partisan. On Telegram, Syrian Girl Partisan. Thank you so much, Syrian Girl. We'll be back with Jay Dyer. Stay with us.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day at what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the Alex Jones Show, the dread of tyrants everywhere. And then the War Room, Harrison Smith, 3 to 6 p.m., the War Room Live. Jay Dyer, expert on the New World Order, coming up. But this is a longer compilation. I won't have time to get into it all. In post, we upload this to X and Real Alex Jones on X and Rumble, / the Alex Jones Show Live. We'll put the full compilation. But I hate the left getting to be, you know, grandstanding and have the high ground. But when you do have Israel dragging us into total war and expanding and doing all this and blowing up Christian settlements, you got to say stop it. But we have to understand that the left is not the answer to this as well. It's like if you got a heart problem, cancer is not the answer to the heart problem. Or if you got malnutrition, and the answer to that is not having, shooting yourself in the head. So here's part of the compilation. I'm going to come back with some key words as I introduce Jay Dyer, but here it is.
Anti-genocide candidates triumph in primaries after enduring targeting by pro-Israel forces. By Gen X Girl, 1994. Did you know most of the anti-genocide candidates who won primaries were people who were targeted by the Zionist machine? Most of the candidates who won Democratic primaries while opposing the genocide in Gaza share a striking history of personal and professional backlash tied to their activism. Outlets across the spectrum, from The Guardian and New York Times to Politico, Al Jazeera, The Forward, and Mother Jones, noted these victories as part of a progressive wave driven by outrage over Gaza. While some coverage in social media focused on smears involving the Democratic Socialists of America or unfounded fears of other ideologies, they overlooked a clear commonality. These candidates took firm stands against the genocide and U.S. military aid to Israel, and they faced protests, job losses, arrests, scrutiny, and other repercussions linked to opposing Israel's genocide in Gaza. When their lawmakers failed to uphold laws protecting free speech and banning weapons sales to human rights violators, these candidates chose to unseat them. As someone who has closely followed the pro-Israel persecution of anti-genocide student protesters and activists since October 2023, this comeback gives me great hope. Melat Kiroz won the June 30th, 2026 Democratic primary for Colorado's 1st Congressional District in Deep Blue Denver, defeating long-serving incumbent Representative Diana DeGette. She has called for ending the genocide in Palestine and rejecting AIPAC-style funding. She was previously fired from a law firm role connected to her public criticism of law firms' responses to October 7, 2023, and their stances on Israel and Palestine. Adam Hamowy won the June 2, 2026 Democratic primary for New Jersey's 12th Congressional District. A former U.S. Army combat surgeon in Iraq who helped save Senator Tammy Duckworth's life, he volunteered as a trauma surgeon in Gaza in 2024 to 2025 treating injuries from the conflict and worked in disaster zones including Post 9/11 New York, Bosnia, Haiti, and Syria. After much frustration at the lack of interest from lawmakers to address the Gaza genocide, he ran for office. He has called for ending U.S. arms sales to Israel, and his primary victory in New Jersey makes him the only U.S. Congress member with firsthand experience of Israel's genocidal war in Gaza. Daria Liza Avila Chevalier won the June 23, 2026 Democratic primary for New York's 13th congressional district, defeating incumbent Representative Adriano Espaillat. She has been outspoken on Palestinian rights, participated in protests, and criticized Israel policy and AIPAC ties. She has a background as an activist who faced targeting for protesting the genocide in Gaza. She was at the heart of the pro-Israel persecution of student protesters to include unjustified deportation attempts. Claire Valdez won the June 23rd, 2026 Democratic primary.
Again, because we're live, but I'm going to put the whole report up. And I got another one, too, we'll put in post. But, sorry, I was eating during that. Hadn't eaten yet today, trying to get a bite. Well, I'll come back and explain because I don't want to cut this short. But these are the Democrat Socialists of America. These are communists. And they're Trojan horsing all their evil policies in, going, oh, we're against genocide. And they're a bunch of Islamicists, and it's dangerous as hell. But AIPAC is unable to really affect them because the Democratic Party's been taken over by this. And so now AIPAC's focusing on the Republican Party with its own brand of idiocy and evil. So we're stuck between a bunch of crazy warmongering Zionists and a bunch of communist Islamicists. I mean, this is bad, folks, real bad.
Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, buy one, get one free ultramethylene blue, buy one, get one free bovine colostrum, buy one, get one free Shilajit complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited edition, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at the AlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
I'm doing a special broadcast tomorrow at noon for several hours, commercial free or light. We'll take a few breaks. At the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com, on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And, of course, on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live. That's just the initials, at AJN Live. So be sure and join us. I'm going to get heavily into America, what it stands for, Founding Fathers quotes, the even greater threats of tyranny, and really some of the very same tyrants we faced then facing now, what's left of the British Empire and the whole globalist NATO constellation, the Chi-Coms, Israel lobby trying to come in and take over. There'll be a big show tomorrow at noon live at AlexJonesLive.com. Be sure and join us and tell everybody you know. And those you don't know, tune in because you're the Paul Revere's. You complete the chain reaction. Now, if you just joined us, I played the leftists, Democrats, Socialists celebrating that they're winning all the primaries nationally, getting rid of the incumbent Democrats, and they are winning the local elections in the primaries for governor, state rep, state senator, county commissions, mayors, everything. And it's all, we're against Gaza genocide. We're against Israel. And just bing, 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 they win. But really, it's all about censorship and open borders and communism and rent control and just absolutely destroying the country. And the Democratic Party at the top, and big money is financing this. Mondami, all of it. And so then in post, because we're out of time, because I want Jay Dyer to take over, I also play this report of just the Democrats vitriolically foaming at the mouth, we're going to get Israel. Now, again, I don't want to be run over by a dump truck or a Mack truck. I don't want to be run over by a city bus or by a cement truck. I want our country to run our country. I don't want a greater Israel. I don't want us drug into all these wars. I don't want the Strait of Hormuz closed. I don't want them primarying our people. But the Democrats are total commie New World Order now, with Soros and all the anti-Israel stuff in this dialectic and the universities and the big money. And then you got the Israel lobby, so-called right-wingers, whatever that means, one of the most liberal, gayest countries in the world, you know, into actual policies. But, oh, it's conservative and Christian values, Judeo-Christian and all this. Meanwhile, you got the atheist, secular Jews absolutely at war with the conservative Jews. It's all just a disaster. How is that our worldview? How is that our world focus? So I'll play this other insane compilation once it's been uploaded to X and once it's been uploaded to Rumble, because we're live right now, but later I'm going to cut it in because of time constraints. It's just a big deal. And then separately, all these videos in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., if a Christian preacher tries to speak, even at Speaker's Corner, they get arrested. If Jews try to speak, people are coming after them. In Canada, Jews can't go into a university or to a public event that the Islamists are running, and they're like, you evil Jew, F you, you old white piece of crap, we're going to kill all of you. Just remember, these people are frothing. So people then go, oh, well, let's then go along with whatever Israel says. And this Jewish professor's like, I'm not even in Israel. I'm Canadian. I'm not even for these wars. What do you mean? Well, you're wearing a yarmulke. You can't come in. And the police go, yeah, you're Jewish. You can't go to the university, even though everybody else is allowed in the open area there in the university outdoor commons. You got a yarmulke. You can't come in. I mean, this is so dangerous, folks. You're a preacher, Christian. You can't speak. This is tyranny, folks. So recognize all these different flavors of tyranny as we go in the fourth turning. You've got all these ideologies, all for censoring and all for control. Got the left saying censor everybody. You got the Israel First lobby saying censor everybody, and then attacking anybody that's even reasonable and says this isn't going to work. It's going to demonize America and Israel. It's going to fail. I'm right. I'm still bad. I don't want to fight with Israel. I don't want to fight with the Muslims. But you guys are sucking us into your world. Can I have my own world? Can I be America? Can I not be controlled by all these foreign interests? The Chi-Coms and the EU and the globalists and all the rest of it? Keir Starmer trying to control us. Thank God he's gone. It's about sovereignty. That's what America's about. Our own country. Not even isolationism, but not all these foreign entanglements. America first, baby. So, I'm going to hand the baton to Jay Dyer. Just remember, I can't do this alone. I can't do this and face down the globalists and the CIA and the New World Order and the Democratic Party and Bloomberg and all the rest of it without you. I need your word of mouth. I need your prayer. It's how we reach new people. AlexJonesLive.com is coordinates for all the audio and video feeds and special reports and articles and live shows and everything. It's such a powerful thing that we're able to get this out, and it's kryptonite to the bad guys. It's holy water and high noon and garlic to vampires, silver bullets to werewolves. It is the light of disinfectant to tyranny, so people are actually generally informed, as Thomas Jefferson said, so we can have liberty. So we're running the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com in 2 years. It's history. Buy one, get one free for ultramethylene blue, bovine colostrum, Shilajit complex. You have today, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a flash sale for America's birthday. Up to 60% off all the other supplements, 50% off all the apparel that makes some of these break even or loss leaders. Because like an XXL costs way more than a small. We make money on a small 50% off, but not on an XXL. So great deals there at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a fundraiser for our operations. The tyrants absolutely hate it. And then finally, give me an overhead shot of this. 2,000 of these came in from the Missouri Mint, pure silver. 3,000 more come in, I guess, next Friday, so like 7-8 days. We can show you actual up-close B-roll of these babies. They are awesome. But it is a limited edition, only 5,000 of these. On one side, it's the Jerusalem cross with 1776, United States of America, says it's centennial, 250 years. On the other side, American Eagle, American flag. This is America 250. This is a fundraiser for the operation. These coins cost us $67 a piece to make. We're selling them for $117.17. So, again, that gets us whatever it is, $40 in to fund the operation. So this isn't like an investment in silver. If you want to buy it at wholesale, you do that at KEPM.com/gold. This is a memento, a fundraiser, a keepsake for the operation, because only 5,000 have been made. I would imagine down the road you probably could sell it for more than you got it for, because once they're, I mean, a lot of the coins we put out like 9 different coins over the years. You see them sell for $300-$400, and people, you know, bought them for like 99 back when silver was 20. We could sell them for cheaper, but this costs us 68 to print them and make them and do it because of the silver cost. and it's been up and down, as you know. So get these now. It funds the operation. I can't do it without you. I thank you for your support, but it's a great memento. And we're fighting the globalists into the future. This 250 year mark is so important, and we're facing peril even greater, but people, to a great extent, have better tools than ever to fight tyranny, and so we've got a real fighting chance. We're winning a lot of battles, but not the war. Please support the broadcast. If you want to stop the next pandemic, want to stop the next war, want to expose all these foreign interests trying to control us, you got to back those that back you. It's the only way we can do it. This is your insurance policy against tyranny. The tyrants hate this broadcast more than anything else, so get incredible supplements that will change your life. Get incredible collectible coins, knives, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and more. The best deals and sales going ever, but only for 3 days. Doing a special show tomorrow noon, the regular Sunday show, 4 to 8 p.m. Be sure and join me then. But the great Jay Dyer, best-selling author, incredible researcher, who goes right to the globalist's own words and documents. Jay Dyer takes over now. It's up to you. The ball's in your court. I fired the bat signal, Paul Revere's. I need your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support. Getting great products at thealexshowstore.com. You are the answer to 1984. You are 1776. You are the resistance. It's up to you. Free will. I ask you for your support in this fight if you choose this mission. Thank you. Jay Dyer. Unmute yourself, Jay.
As you know, I like to go to the sources. Thank you, Alex. I cover the topics that most people don't want to get into, particularly the global elite books themselves. And today we're going to do just that. In fact, we hear a lot about the Rothschilds. There's a lot of mythology. There's a lot of conspiracy theorizing. But what if we go to the authorized biographies or the approved biographies to see what they themselves say about themselves from their archives? So today we're going to be going through the Rothschilds, which is the official biography by Morton. This was approved by the family. They let Morton go and look at the archives. Morton himself is also a Jewish person, so he certainly has no desire to present them in a negative way. He doesn't appear to dislike them. He tries to give a thorough but accurate approach and a very readable, I guess you could say, almost Game of Thrones level analysis of the rise of the dynasty from the 1700s up until today. The book was published in 1962, so it does have some limitations in terms of time frame, but at least we can see from the 1700s into the 20th century how this family was able to gain such an immense amount of power, wealth, and influence to be one of the top global oligarchical families in the world, to become essentially the international financiers to the world. It's unknown exactly how much wealth they have because they have actually kept their assets private their entire history, which was, I guess, a very cunning and smart thing to do. So we want to understand the reality. We don't want to fall into too much theorizing. We want to see what it's admitted, because that's a much more powerful, I think, weapon to fight this kind of stuff when we understand what their actual real relations were to the various powers of Europe, who they really were able to influence, what the battles for them actually were. And I think we're going to notice it's probably not everything that you think. There's actually quite a bit of their history that most people don't know about. So I was actually really surprised to read this, but I thought it would be boring. A lot of biographies are kind of boring. This was anything but that. It was literally like the reality of Game of Thrones. Rothschild family, in the introduction, according to Morton, they were successful because they actually had a plan. They planned not for the immediate, but for generational future dominance. And so that's a key element. Most of us don't think about planning generations ahead. We think about, how are we going to get this guy in, elect him, and he'll change and fix everything. No, no. In order to bring the open window back to sanity, to get it back to a more healthy position, it's going to take probably generations to save the West and to save our country. They're so far down the toilet. Now, some of the techniques, though, we probably don't want to engage in all their techniques, because Morton notes that they were very closely adhering to the principle of marrying within the family. And sometimes that's a little too close, which can produce a little bit of a slow boy here and there. So we might not want to be engaging in everything that they engage in. But some of these principles, I think, are going to be very relevant to understanding how to work in this world, obviously without engaging in degrees of, you know, serious sin or vice. We don't want to promote usury, for example. I would argue we don't. But otherwise, we do want to look at the techniques, the tactics, and understand the vantage point, not all from an evil perspective either, because we have to understand these are also human beings. They're people. They do have a very, I would say, cult-like attitude in terms of the religion. I think rabbinic Judaism has a tendency to be very cult-like. And so it doesn't free people in the way that Christ can actually give people freedom. So they're actually bound up and enslaved to a very, if you look at the way Jesus, for example, in Matthew 23, he talks about the Pharisees. That's the rabbinic tradition of his day. And that's what really codifies into the Talmud and all these documents that we've heard about for so many years. And it's very legalistic. It's very binding in terms of sort of absurd laws. And it's that way on purpose because absurd laws, I think that many people are rules within religions. They don't, it's not that they're purposeless. People assume that, well, this is stupid. They don't have any purpose. Why would you do that? They're pointless. Actually, absurd laws are on purpose in terms of cunning elites to ensure that you listen, that you are obedient. If you read 1984, O'Brien gives Winston all kinds of absurd things that he's supposed to adhere to and believe and say. And that's actually to make you compliant, to ensure that you don't rest on your thinking. You rest on the cult's structure. The Rothschild family had another series of strategic plans and strategies that also helped to be effective, namely the idea that the sons, and Meyer Amschel Rothschild had five sons, that he sent out to different countries in Europe to set up banking houses, banking empires. This is also solidified in terms of the past talks that we've done on Carol Quigley. Carol Quigley has several chapters on the history of France, and he calls it the Paribas system. That's the Rothschild banking system that's set up throughout Europe. But Meyer got the idea that he would send out the five sons and marry them only to very wealthy Jewish women. But the daughters, he had a better idea. He said they can marry wealthy Gentile Catholics, and that way we can solidify the power structure, not just amongst elite Jewish banking houses or whatever, but also amongst elite Catholic and even sometimes Protestant men who were married to the daughters. He also got the idea that if he had sons that were a little more on the liberal side of their ideology, he would send them to the more liberal countries in Europe. And if he had sons or daughters that were more on the conservative side, he would send them into the conservative countries. And so this, again, is all in the biography. So this is understanding left-right dialectics and understanding how to manage those. And that actually comes up multiple times in the text, that they were kind of above the immediate political crises, the immediate, European warfare squabbles, this dictator versus this prince or whatever. They were above all of that, and they were typically riding the wave of investment. And that's very important because it's the same with Epstein. If you remember the Epstein emails, Jeffrey Epstein is talking to Arianna Rothschild, and he says, we're going to ride this wave when there's crisis over here in Somaliland. We're going to ride this wave in the Greek debt crisis, the European banking crisis. We can profit from all of these waves by moving the money to where it will be affected. Everybody knows probably the famous story of Waterloo, that famous story where they had advanced intelligence on what happened at Waterloo and the defeat of Napoleon, and they were able to leak a fake story. And Nathan Rothschild in England, the London stock market crashes, they buy it up, and then it comes back. He also started dumping stock, too, to give the impression that he really was a believer in this false intel that had come about the war. And so they figured out very early on that you could utilize the advanced intelligence to move your money around. And that's how they still operate to this day, given Jeffrey Epstein's emails with Arianna Rothschild. And remember, Epstein said, I represent the Rothschilds. He said this to Peter Thiel. He said this to many, many people. And so the other thing they did was create many, many corporations, many, many fronts, many, many cutouts such that nobody knew what the holdings were of the Rothschilds. And this was first an issue when Meyer was going to pass away. And when he was drawing up the will for his sons and daughters, he decided that the best way to do this was to tell them who would get what things very broadly. That way no one could assess exactly what the assets and holdings were. And then it was thus divided amongst the family. And then it was even harder to track because you don't know which Rothschild owns which assets. And over time, again, this is all kept very secret, but they also expanded into a lot of different industries. So they didn't just stay with banking. Even when by the 1800s, they become the biggest banking house throughout Europe, just one of the houses, whether it was in France or whether it was in London, other places, it was estimated in the 1800s that one of the Rothschild banks would have $500 million in 1800s money. And if you adjust for inflation, that's tens of billions of dollars in today's money. So again, throughout Europe, they had vast amounts of money, especially for the 1800s, even to the point where they were as wealthy or more wealthy than many princes throughout Europe. They became the holders and secret owners of many corporations, many companies. They moved into railroads. They moved into wine. They moved into chocolates, being chocolatiers. They had all kinds of businesses. And they also figured out that they could set up secret foundations and secret things that were not public. So that's, again, why it's so hard to know exactly in today's money, like what it's worth. You could think perhaps as something comparable, and I'm sure the Vatican probably has more asset wealth because of, you know, how could you put a value on, you know, thousands of cathedrals and basilicas throughout the world? They're all, you know, vastly worth an immense amount of money. You probably couldn't put a value on it. And the Vatican Bank, of course, we don't know what the Vatican banking assets are. It's private secret banking. The Rothschilds are the exact same structure. And in fact, in the 1820s and 1830s, the Rothschilds begin to give loans to the papacy. I think it was 1832. Carl Rothschild begins to loan money to Gregory the 16th, and the papacy eventually becomes a vast debtor to the Rothschilds, and this eventually ends the Papal States. So if you wonder why the papacy eventually lost its political power, geopolitical power, and I'm not a fan of the papacy, I'm just telling you the history, that's actually covered in several chapters in the book. And that's because of Rothschild loans. There were many, many millions and millions of dollars of lira loaned to the Vatican. And the Rothschilds became the Vatican bankers in the 1830s. And as we said, so beginning in Frankfurt, Germany in the late 1700s, the family sends out five sons to the countries of Europe, to the key nations of Europe, Italy, England, France, I think perhaps Spain. I forget all the exact details of it, but I'm going from memory. If you... are we at a break? Can you guys hear me? Okay. Well, you went to a, it looked like you were going to a, are you just advertising at Alex's, broadcast? Okay. Anyway, so, the Rothschilds began in what we call the ghetto, in the sense of it being a district where Jews were allowed to live. They were limited in terms of the state laws, in terms of how many marriages they could have every year, how many businesses they could have in Frankfurt, Germany in the 1700s. And Meyer began his business by getting the idea that he could collect numismatics and coins. And then because many princes and emperors and kings, et cetera, were very interested in coins and coinage, he could get away into kind of making elite friends. And this has actually worked very well. He got to be friends with the Prince of Austria's financier, a guy named Buderhaus. They became really close. And this eventually led to him making loans to some heads of state. And that began a small banking house out of their small, what was called a ghetto. And they moved from a house that had a red shield on the front. This was not actually their name. It was just a house that had an old nobility emblem already on the house. And they just took the name Red Shield or Rothschild. And then eventually they moved to the nicest house in the Jewish ghetto known as the Green Shield. While at these places, they were able to build a small sort of banking empire where they were doing small loans, but Meyer had a bigger ambition to loan money to heads of state. And eventually this worked fabulously well. It was not too long before they'd actually established their own bank. And they had gotten to a point where they were loaning out extensively to other heads of state throughout Europe. And this, again, solidified Meyer's plan to send his sons into other nations in Europe. And they would basically repeat the strategy. Now, what's fascinating is that eventually in places like France, where they first gain an immense amount of power, and Quigley says the exact same thing in his chapter on the Paribas system. In France is where they decide that they have a strategy to get to the next level, to become the biggest international clearinghouse, setting the standards for the globe in the 1800s. And this is where they accumulate immense amounts of wealth. We'll get to that just in a second, but it's very clear within the early passages in the book that it is based on the Talmudic principles that Meyer followed. So don't go anywhere. This is the History of the Rothschilds on the Alex Jones Show.
Celebrate America's 250th birthday. The biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com is live right now, but only for 3 days. I was 2 years old in 1976 when America celebrated its 200th anniversary. Well, I'm 52 now, and it's the 250th. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off. And all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market. Buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market. Buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more. Buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff lost leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP. Commit to the American Republic. In the year 2026, help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hello.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, ready to the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, and thank you to Alex for allowing me to be here. And just over the years, being such a good, positive, open, supportive person, he's helped me out a lot. I have nothing but positive things to say about Alex. He's a great guy. Met him in person many times. And I also want to note that on that note, we just did one of the biggest podcasts out there in the world that will be dropping very soon. So look for that Monday the 13th. If you're not a follower of mine on X or on YouTube, most of my material is in both of those places. I'm on Rumble and other places as well, but be looking for that Monday the 13th. We covered everything. We went through religion. We went through espionage. We went through geopolitics. We got into transhumanism, satanic cults, Hollywood, imagery, magic, all of that in what will probably be to date one of my biggest interviews so far. So be looking for that. And I don't think ultimately that would have come about had Alex not, you know, been such a supportive, honest, positive person over the years in terms of media operations and, you know, really being loyal and faithful to people who are loyal and faithful to him. I think people overlook a lot of Alex's really missed good qualities. So go to the Alex Jones store and be sure and get those products. Be looking for his special 4th of July broadcast tomorrow that begins at 10 a.m. and goes until 1 p.m. Central tomorrow on 4th of July. And we're talking about the history of this famed family, the Rothschild, this dynasty that has eventually achieved, you could say in a way, kind of world domination. I don't think they control everything in the world, but they do control a lot, and they've had a huge amount of influence, especially in European and perhaps even American history, depending upon the degree to which various other banking houses are also perhaps linked to the Rothschild banking interests, entities like J.P. Morgan Chase and others. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, for example, some years back joined their fortunes in a famous, huge mainstream news story maybe about 10 years ago. You can still find that online. So these oligarchical elite have at times made these big, huge alliances. And we saw that Meyer Amschel had a lot of success precisely because he sent his sons and daughters out to make those types of alliances to build wealth and power. And the principles that he used, according to the Morton biography, were actually the Talmudic principles. In fact, Meyer was an avid daily reader of the Talmud and would apply these principles to business, to, you know, dealing with the Goyim or the Gentiles or whoever. And that's not conspiracy theory. That's just fact and history. That's in any of these authorized mainline texts. And eventually, as we said, by the late 1700s, early 1800s, they had established an international banking intelligence network. That's what most people don't understand, is that this is not just making money. It's also a family. And it's very similar to the way that if you watch The Sopranos or if you watch any gangster movie, they speak of the family as the most important thing, right? Tony Soprano, he's like telling Christopher, this is the family, Christopher, right? And Christopher and Polly Walnut, so they're submitted to him as the patriarch of a family. But in many cases, they're not actually blood relatives. They're just Sicilian. But in this case, the family was literally one degree of relation away, right? Brothers and sisters, et cetera. And that formed a much tighter bond, and also having the same fairly serious Orthodox Judaism as their religion as well. That, I think, created a perfect catalyst for an in-group sort of elitist presence that could overcome a lot of the obstacles that other people didn't think about, especially in terms of generational thinking. Now, Catholicism in Europe at that time also thought generationally, and perhaps many of the Protestants did as well. But nowadays, we don't really think that way. We think so in terms of immediate fulfillment that we just have lost this idea that a lot of battles, a lot of conquests, especially when it comes to culture war, idea, et cetera, civilizational battles, they're fought in the centuries and in the millennia. They're not hashed out with one goober being elected and tossed out with another goober being elected 4 years later. And the Rothschilds understood, especially with the chaos of European politics and battles that they weren't really concerned with this or that event. They were concerned about two, three, four generations down the road. And everything they did was, quote, for the family, planned generationally. And that's why they were so successful. And they didn't get caught up in this prince versus that prince or whatever. They were able to establish an international network of intelligence, and it's explicitly called that, that had its own language, its own codes and ciphers based around a combination of German, Yiddish, and Hebrew. Thus, most European heads of state or spies or whatever, they were not able to decode these communiques and this information. And most of this information actually just had to deal with advanced knowledge on where to move money, especially in terms of investing. So if the Rothschilds had got wind of a battle and the loss or the victory, that tells you where to move or put the money. And it's no different today. That's actually what a lot of espionage and intelligence stuff today is about. It's not all the James Bond type stuff. That's a very small part of it. They saw no ideologies. They just saw stepping stones to investment. And so they ended up eventually becoming so powerful by the 1800s, mid-1800s, that they had to encounter and deal with heads of state. They had to deal with Napoleon. There was a huge conflict between the ideas of Napoleon post-French Revolution, the people that were funding and backing him, a rival banking elite and banking house, versus the Rothschilds and their approach to how society and culture would be run and funded. But again, I want to note that modern espionage comes out of banking. It's not coming out of like military warfare. The Rothschilds created, for example, one case, a coach, and the coach had a false bottom. This is a stagecoach in the bottom, where they would hide the secret letters that were all written in a secret language that was a jumble of Hebrew, Yiddish, and German. It was their own code system of pseudonyms. They could thus then keep any information secret, even if they found the secret box where they were hiding the communiques. But it didn't really end up working, because eventually the first great international clearinghouse in 1815 was set up by the Rothschilds in London. And so they ran actually the international clearinghouse for the Bank of England. And this would begin to help set up international gold standards and so forth for international banking. The Waterloo intelligence event was a massive treasure scoop that gamed the market through an engineer panic. As we said, Nathan Rothschild was able to leak information that was false and then dump stock, giving the impression that it was about to crash. London stock market crashed. Then you buy it all up as pennies on the dollar. And this type of a rug pull or whale manipulation type of thing that we see in crypto and markets today, no different. It's been going on since the very beginning. Look up a Wyckoff distribution. It's the same situation in terms of stock investing. They had a mafia view of the family and commitment to the family, as we said. When they would marry their sons or their daughters off to elite families, they would then combine the empires and the estates. Eventually, they were able, through a lot of money and influence, to achieve minor nobility status in Austria. Thus, they were called the von Rothschilds. Von is a name that's given when you're a minor nobility. By the 1820s, they became barons in various countries. Particularly, they began to have more and more success in England, and they were eventually the gold brokers to the Bank of England and to the Queen, to the Crown. So they were vastly wealthy, vastly successful. And they also sent out spies all throughout Europe. They had their own private spy network. So espionage wasn't invented by the Rothschilds, but modern espionage and corporate espionage was, because they were a private banking house that realized they needed to keep proprietary information secret. They didn't want any of their advanced intelligence on investing getting out. And so, as we said, they had their code system, but they also had their own secret agents and spies that they sent out into Europe to engage in their own espionage activities outside of anything to do with the existing state or head of state. They had, as we said, about $500 million in the mid-1800s in both France and other banking houses, which is valued at 60, 80, hundreds of billions of dollars in today's money. And after every battle and every conflict, they would, quote, ride the wave. They had both conservative and liberal sons, meaning that they were not concerned with basic bitch dialectics left and right. They've been always above that. And it's, we've got to get above that stuff because everybody in America still falls into this control structure of basic bitch lib. And really in America, everyone's a liberal. The whole classical liberal ethos is liberalism. And so everybody's just a form of liberalism, one flavor of it, whether it's GOP or Democrat. But now we're just slipping over into full on socialism, communism, Marxism via the probably coming dominance of the left, the tech left and others. Napoleon I was one of the first to challenge the Rothschilds. And I'm not saying that this makes Napoleon good. These are just rival weirdos. Right? Napoleon's obviously this weirdo. But he did enter into conflict because as many socialist heads of state, dictators, kings, as they eventually learn, I need money. I'm going to have to be indebted to some foreign head of state or some banker because kings need money. That's how they fund wars. This was even in Game of Thrones, right? They had like one of the cities in Game of Thrones, or one of the thrones was the bankers. So Napoleon I, when he lost, and he did lose in this battle to a degree in his battle with the Rothschilds, his nephew, Napoleon III, also lost to the Rothschilds. However, Napoleon III and his backers actually presented the first significant challenge to the Rothschilds. And this would make a great movie. This chapter was fascinating because this whole chapter is about this guy named Perret, who was a former employee of the Rothschild banking house, who also was Jewish. So it's not an anti-Semitic issue. He was just a rival, lower level employee who stole something like $1 million francs or something in 1800s money. And he went off to found his own, mini banking structure, which in itself would not have been a big deal. However, he found other huge big player opponents of the Rothschilds. One of these characters was a guy named Achille Fould, a French guy, a French banking elite, who was the opponent of the Rothschilds. And so Perret united himself with Achille and he said, look, I've been with these guys and their family. I know everything about their secrets and their tricks and their tactics. So what we'll do is we will mimic all of their tactics. We will then rival them and then we'll put an end to these Rothschilds. Again, this has nothing to do with really with ethnicity because Perret was also Jewish. It was just really power and money in this battle. They became the financial backers of Napoleon III, and they set up, which is kind of an interesting, I didn't know this actually went back this far, but they came up with this idea of employee-owned stocks. And so what their company would do, and it was called Credit Immobilier, was any company that took out a loan, because they had a tendency to favor socialism with Napoleon and Napoleon III, they were kind of socialist, but they also wanted this sort of dictator figure like a Napoleon, right? They came up with this idea to have anyone that took out a loan from the bank could also be a part owner in the shares of the bank stock, right? And that tended to work pretty good. It was kind of, I'm not saying socialism, I'm saying this was kind of successful for a while in building up a resistance of a state-connected bank to challenge the private banking house of the Rothschilds. Now, the Rothschilds also did loan out to heads of state, so it wasn't technically not to do with the state, but this was more of an open socialist state bank of Credit Immobilier intended to raise up a sort of Napoleon-style figure, and that could perhaps challenge the private rising capitalist banking structure of the Rothschilds. Morton also notes, by the way, that the Rothschilds represent the end of European feudalism. They're really the key emblematic archetype of the transition from the feudal lords to capitalism, to the modern capitalist structure. So they really embody the idea of Homo economicus, right? Transitioning out of the idea of the feudal man and knights and lords and all that, Downton Abbey, Lord Grantham, transitioning into the idea of banking elites, right? No longer do cities have at the center of the city a giant cathedral. The biggest thing in the center of the city is a giant bank, right? All of our cities now are structured around gigantic banks as the middle, most important functioning of the city. That's the most emblematic picture you could give of classical liberalism and the idea of neoliberal economic theory. Neoliberal means classical liberal. That's what Ricardo, that's what Adam Smith, that's what laissez-faire is. That's called neoliberal economic theory. It's not just Hillary Clinton. It's actually classical liberalism is neoliberalism. It's money and money transaction is the most important factor in human society. In fact, Immanuel Kant wrote a whole essay on when we have global capitalism, world wars will go away. He actually thought this. He said, because what will happen is all the governments will favor trade over war and thus will have an international global governance based on capitalism. I mean, that was pretty naive, but that was what Kant thought in his famous treatise on world government. But he's really just working within the structure of, you know, John Locke, Adam Smith, David Ricardo, the various capitalist figures coming out of the feudal period. The Rothschilds represent, as the greatest archetype, that transition. Nowadays, we're transitioning into something beyond that, which is a sort of technocratic socialism, which also has had quite a bit of Rothschild support over the years as well. So we have to think about this as not committed to an ideology. In fact, the biography even says they're not committed to some specific ideology. They're committed to, first and foremost, power for the family. And the family can be above the ideologies and use them like chess pieces on the chessboard, the way that Zbigniew Brzezinski talks about in his book. So they were able eventually to purchase and influence their way up to not just being lords and barons, but also in England, as parliamentary, quote, democracy gained in popularity and prominence, they were eventually elected to the lower house and then eventually elected to the upper house and became lords in England as well, which was the first time that a Jewish person, at least as far as I understood this, had ever gotten to those positions. There's also a fascinating chapter on Disraeli, that Disraeli was 100% a Rothschild operative. That's actually what Carol Quigley argues in his book, Tragedy and Hope, as well. The Morton book says, yes, and the whole operation to take the Suez Canal was precisely for the Rothschilds, but to do this for the British Empire, that's the thing that got Queen Victoria to allow one of the Rothschilds to become a lord. So Rothschild did this for the queen, but he did it so that he become a lord, because prior to that, Queen Victoria said, I don't want any Jews being, in the House of Lords. And then Lord Rothschild said, well, what if I get you the Suez Canal through Disraeli? Okay, now you can be a lord. So the financial lordship and overlord structure that then was set up all throughout Europe as a kind of an octopus spider's web network was so successful and so interlinked through all the things that we said, they were able eventually to essentially take over the Italian peninsula. Not all of Italy, but they took over the Italian peninsula. They had that in their pocket. They then put the papacy into great amounts of debt in multiple series of loans beginning in the 1830s, even up until pretty late. I forget the exact, the last time there was a Rothschild papal loan, but this is all facts. This is all right here in history texts. So this is how they built their empire. This is how they built a superstructure. And to go back to that challenge that we said with Credit Mobilier and Perret together with Achille Fould, they had this partnership that was actually getting pretty successful, and they actually started winning a couple battles with the Rothschilds in terms of taking over certain areas and foisting their businesses out, getting them out of the country in certain areas. But the reason they were not able ultimately to succeed was because the Rothschilds were perceptive enough, number one, to figure out that, okay, this company-owned approach to stocks and banking is kind of having some success. So they set up their version of it. So what these guys thought would be a first rival competition of company-owned stocks and whatnot, the Rothschilds set up their version of it. It did very well. And then eventually they bought off their number one enemy, Achille Fould, and they bought off Napoleon III, and that left Perret, their chief undermining former employee, alone. Eventually, he was arrested for the original million francs that he stole from the Rothschilds, and he ended up basically broke as Credit Mobilier's stocks collapsed. So the Rothschilds ended up winning. And according to Wharton, why? How since Achille Fould and Perret were using the same strategies, what were they missing? And his thesis is that they had no heirs. They had no sons. They thought that they could just do all of this in their generation, in their time, and they could beat the Rothschilds at their own game. They came really close. In a couple of cases, they did, but they didn't win out long term because they didn't have any sons. They were committed to an ideology, but they didn't have any biology. So the Rothschilds ended up winning also this battle, and eventually Credit Mobilier collapsed. They were eventually able also to buy off, in many cases, state protection for certain situations. So, for example, at one point, there were some spies who were able to crack their code system, and they were getting some of the advanced Rothschild intelligence. And the Rothschilds then decided to pay off the heads of state to protect the Rothschild mail system with state protection. And so pretty much at any point, they could pay it off. If a head of state went against the Rothschilds, according to Morton, all the Rothschilds had to do was leak fake intelligence that plots were being hatched of revolutionaries and leftists. And perhaps maybe there were plots, but they could fund those things if they were. They had all the money in the world. But even if they didn't want to fund it, they could just leak disinformation. And the disinformation was destabilizing enough that it could bring those errant heads of state back into line. So eventually, by the mid to late 1800s, there were no significant challengers anymore to the Rothschilds, and they were the preeminent worldwide gold credit system establishers for the entire world. They represent the replacement of the feudal world with the capitalist lords. Lords in the sense of like banking lords. Throughout all this time, it's also amazing they kept their holdings secret. Nobody knew exactly how much they had. Any of their opponents were never able to overtake them. They made vast loans to throughout the world. So this became an international global empire to the extent that even when people would try to oppose them, they also realized that they needed state power. So one of the reasons that Lord Rothschild in England went into the House of Lords was because he realized that, yeah, we can buy off people, but it might be a little easier if we actually just have state power. The book argues as well that Disraeli was, although verbally a Christian, he always considered himself a Marranos, which is a false convert when the Spanish tried to force Jews to become converts to Catholicism. These were known as the Marranos, and the Marranos would say they were Catholic, but were actually just still Jewish. Allegedly, Disraeli himself maintained this exact same position. Now, the most fascinating aspect of this book, and if you go to my channel, we're going to get into the rest of this in the next few days on my YouTube channel. Be sure and follow me because we cover stuff no one else covers, these types of big books. I knew about Warburg and Rockefeller support for Lenin. I did not know that the Rothschilds also sent 1 million rubles to Vladimir Lenin to help with his, quote, revolution. So, yes, Lord Rothschild 100% was behind Lenin. Says on page 191 that Lord Rothschild in England sent 1 million rubles to Vladimir Lenin, V.I. Lenin, to be successful in his revolution. There was an expectation that Lenin would pay this back. Lenin never paid it back. So Lenin out-Leninned the Rothschilds, never paid them back for this loan. But it ended up being successful because, of course, the Bolsheviks overthrew the Tsars, and the Rothschilds themselves admitted that they didn't have a lot of respect. In fact, they hated the Orthodox Christians and the Tsars, and they were happy to see them destroyed. So that is the biography of the Rothschilds by Morton. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis.
Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream, just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American. And know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us. And we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at TheAlexJonesStore.com. With the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.